Are we recording?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So I'm going to call the meeting to order. Can we have a reading of the adequate notice, please, Mr. Barthelmess?
Yes, let the minutes show that adequate notice of this meeting as required by PL 1975, Chapter 231 has been published. Chapter 231 has been provided in publication in the Asbury Park Press, posted on the Township Bulletin Board, and filed with the Township Clerk on the same date.
And also posted, it was published also in the Times, the Times of Trenton. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Pam. We're going to have a flag salute now. Hopefully everyone has a flag to look at, after which we'll stand silently for a moment of reflection and respect, remembering those who in the past have served our country and for those who also presently serve. So everyone stand. I pledge allegiance.
To the flag
of the United States of America, and to the republic
for which stands
one nation under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you, everyone. Pam, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Vice Chairman Barthelmess.
Here.
Mr. Conoscenti is absent. Mr.
Frog. No, I'm here.
Oh,
I'm
are
here.
You? Oh, hello, yes. Mr. Conoscenti.
Hi.
Thank you. Mr. Conoscenti is here. Mr. Frost. He's here. Mr. Lambros is absent. Mr. Morelli.
Here.
Mr. Mostyn.
Here.
Chairman Avellino.
Here.
Mr. Ferrara?
Here.
And Mr. Mangano?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks everyone. First up on the agenda, we have approval of our minutes from the July 22nd meeting. I saw those minutes. I don't have any comments or issues with it. It was a fairly short meeting, so no surprise there. Anybody else need more time to review those minutes? Okay, hearing none. Anybody have any issues with the minutes? All right, hearing none, I'd like to ask for a motion from someone to approve those minutes.
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Ferrara and Mr. Mostyn on the second. Is that right?
Correct.
It was Mark.
Okay. So Mr. Ferrara and Mr. Mangano. All right.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ferrara? Mr. Ferrara?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Mangano?
Yes.
Mr. Frost?
Yes.
Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Mostyn?
Yes.
And Chairman Avellino?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. First up on the agenda for tonight is an extension of time. This is for application Z18-05, James McCaffrey. And this was an extension for a variance that we granted for steep slope buffers. And so is the applicant here online?
The applicant is online, Mr. McCaffrey. He is here.
Okay.
Hold on for just a moment.
Can you hear me?
There he is. Yes, Mr. McCaffrey.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, there he is.
Okay. Mr. McCaffrey, why don't you give the board an idea of what's going on and why you need the extension of time?
Okay. Because of the steep slopes, I'd like to have some engineering refined. And that's basically why I would, I'm asking for possibly a one-year extension.
I think our ordinance allows 6 months. Is that correct?
I think.
It's six. You get 1 year, and then you get 6 months.
Okay.
Sure. That's correct.
Okay, so Mr. McCaffrey, the most we could give you is 6 months.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, this is, as the board recalls, this was an approval. The applicant previously got approved for a 1,500 square foot single family home on a vacant lot. Property's 3.7 acres in the R80/RUP zone. I think the only variance they needed with respect to the application was that they were doing construction in the steep slope, and they required a variance for that steep slope requirement. So I would assume that that's the engineering need, is because that's the variance is because he's constructing in that steep slope buffer area.
Okay. And
that,
and
is that correct?
Okay. One question. Did you say 1,500 square feet?
Yes.
There was a limitation on the house?
That was what the applicant proposed.
I don't recall saying 1,500 square feet.
I'm reading, hey, Pam, I'm reading from your agenda.
Let me look at the, do I have the resolution? Hold on.
I don't have, minimize. I don't have the resolution in front of me. Matt, do you have it?
No, I don't. That could have been a footprint. Is it a two-story building?
We didn't have a plan, but yeah, we, as far as I understood, there was no restriction on the square footage.
I don't remember a restriction either.
Well, the restriction, the applicant came in with a floor plan of a building footprint, and that's yes. that's what we approved. So that's where the number comes from.
Yeah, as long as
so it may have been the bottom floor.
Yes, correct. It would only be it would be whatever the footprint is. You did come in with your application for a specific design of a building, the size, the width, the length, and that's how you got the buffer. Yes, it may be. I don't have it in front of me, but it was probably 1,500 and 1,500. Pam, were you able to find the resolution?
I don't have. I can't get a hold of the resolution where I'm at presently.
Yeah, I have to. I could probably get it.
I think we could just say to stay consistent with the plans that we approved. We don't have to put a number there.
No, we don't. It's the extension does not modify the previous approval. All it does is grant them 6 months to apply for a building permit.
That's correct.
Based on the approval that we received a year ago.
Okay. So Mr. McCaffrey, do you understand we can only give you 6 months by ordinance, and everything in the resolution still applies. The only thing is you get extra time. Is that going to help you out?
That will.
Okay. All right.
Just a point of order. Is there such a thing as reapplying for another extension afterwards?
He has to apply for a new variance.
You.
Again, this is what's in our ordinance, so we don't have any leeway here. Okay. So, I would advise if at all possible, you should try and get your building permit within the 6 month window. If you can't, you can come back and apply again for a new variance. It's just, extra things you need to do and extra cost. Associated with that, so if at all possible, it would be best to get it in the 6 months. A question for Matt. Matt, has anything changed in our ordinances related to steep slopes or the lot size that might affect this property in the last year?
No.
Okay. All right. Board members, do you have any questions for Mr. McCaffrey at this point? Okay, Mr. McCaffrey, do you have anything further you want to mention to the board?
No.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, I was able to pull the resolution up from my mail. The resolution doesn't reference the square footage of the house, but it whatever the plans of the house that are set forth in their various plans submitted by Walter Hopkins, dated August 30th, 2018, that's what he received approval for. So whatever is consistent with that prior approval, it doesn't say how big it is, but they are set forth on a specific exhibit.
Okay. So again, when you get the building permit, we're expecting that'll be consistent with what was applied for. And, you know, that shouldn't be an issue. Okay. We don't have to open this to the public, do we, Mr. Vella?
No.
Okay. So at this point, what I would like to do, and there's no conditions we put on this, right?
Nope. Because all the conditions in the prior resolution continues with the application. It's just simply an extension of the approval.
Okay. So at this point, I would like to ask the board members to make a motion to either approve or deny this extension. Would someone make a motion, please?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay. I think that was Mr. Morelli.
Yes.
Okay.
I will second it.
And that's Mr. Ferrara, I believe.
Thank you.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Yes. Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Ferrara?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Barthelmess?
Yes.
Mr. Conoscenti?
Yes.
Mr. Frost?
Yes.
Mr. Mostyn?
Yes.
And Chairman Novellino?
Yes.
Mr. Mangano isn't eligible for this because we have our full seven there. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Next up is a application that was carried from, I guess, from, was it the May meeting? It was a while ago.
June 24th.
I put the 22nd as the 24th.
Okay. So this was a carried application, application Z19-07, Daniel and Domenica Stewart. And this was for a oversized building, accessory building or garage. So I think Mr. Stewart is represented by counsel. So why don't you come forward and or make your presentation.
This is Jared Pape. Is my audio coming through clearly?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Pam and Greg. I was not able to review this application. I think there's a few of us that couldn't. Is that
Yes, yourself, Mr. Conoscenti, and Mr. Lambros, because the iCloud Zoom was contaminated. I don't believe that was any fault of our own. Zoom was having problems. You're not eligible to vote on this application because you couldn't review the video or actually the verbiage, the tape.
However, gentlemen, you are allowed to participate in this part of the application. You can make comments, questions, and the like. But when it comes to the voting, you just can't vote.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Mr. Vella.
Mr. Pape, before you start, the applicant did, since these are Zoom meetings, the applicant did re-notice, and the board finds that the jurisdiction is appropriate and is continued from the last meeting. Since the last meeting, the applicant has some documents, which I will read into the record. These documents are all online at the Millstone website. They're A9A, jurisdictional packet for this meeting, A99 elevations on an 8-pitch prepared by Timberline, dated 8-4-2020, A10, which is elevations on a 6-pitch prepared by Timberline, dated 8-4-20. A11 is the elevation perspective exhibit A prepared by Crest Engineering, dated 8-17-20. A12 is elevation perspective exhibit B, prepared by Crest Engineering, dated A1720. A13 is photographs of the property, 10 of them. A14 is color samples, charcoal and ash gray. A15 is revised variant sketch, proposed landscaping, sheet 3 of 3, prepared by Crest Engineering, last revised 7-21-20. And A16 is Mr.
Picataji.
I'm going to delete that as A16. I'm going to remark that as BOA3. That would be the memo from Leon Avakian, dated 7-27-20, which is the same thing that's referenced, it's the same letter but I'm going to call it BOA 3 instead of A16 because it came from our plant, our engineer's office. Okay, Mr. Pape, you could continue with your application and your witnesses regarding this. At the last meeting, I think we were open to the public, but I think you have new information that you want to proceed with and evidence regarding the height and the size of this building, I presume.
Yes, and thank you for confirming the legal notices. Good evening, members of the board, board professionals. My name is Jared Pape. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Heilbrun Pape, and I have the opportunity to represent the applicants, Dan and Dominica Stewart. This, as mentioned, this application was last heard by this board in June. And just as a brief refresher, this is a bulk variance application for a proposed garage structure on the applicant's residential property. The purpose of the garage is to store a motorhome and travel trailer, which are currently being stored outside uncovered. We're requesting bulk variances for the height and size of the proposed garage. And there's also a question related to architectural compatibility. At the last meeting, there were some comments raised by members of the board as well as a member of the public regarding the appearance of the building. And since the last meeting, the applicant, as mentioned, has revised this application to be responsive to those comments. So I would just like to quickly summarize those revisions before we go over them in more detail. One of the talking points at the last meeting was the appearance of the proposed garage from the street view. As you'll see from photographs that we'll present shortly, there is an existing forested area between the street and the location of the proposed garage. We also had reached out to, after the last meeting, we had reached out to Mr. Shafai to see if he or someone from his office could assist in creating a landscaping plan. And as a result of that, a meeting took place one afternoon in July at the applicant's property with Mr. Picataji, a landscape architect from Mr. Shafai's office, as well as Rick Wiener, the applicant's landscape architect, as well as myself and the applicant. And together, the landscape architects identified some locations to create, to add trees to create an additional buffer between the proposed garage and the street. And after the meeting, a landscaping plan was prepared by Mr. Wiener that we will share with you this evening. And we were pleased to receive Mr. Picataji's review letter, who stated that this plan would provide adequate screening throughout all four seasons. Another talking point was the height of the building. Mr. Stewart's been in contact with his building contractor, who has prepared an alternate design with a flatter roof that's about 3 feet lower in height than the original design as presented at the last meeting. So we have those to present to you today. Crest also prepared elevation perspective exhibits to demonstrate that the garage is designed to be a subordinate to the primary residence. We're also presenting a color scheme of the proposed garage to match the color scheme of the primary residence, as well as a textured facade to further soften the exterior. So as far as the order of this evening, our intention was to present the same witnesses as the last meeting, starting with Mr. Stewart, the applicant, then Donna Bullock, professional engineer, and then Lorelei Totten, professional planner. Mr. Stewart will present the building elevation plans, samples of the exterior, the color scheme, as well as the photographs of the existing forest conditions. Ms. Bullock would present the elevation perspectives and the proposed landscaping plan, and Ms. Totten is available for additional planning testimony as needed. So with your permission, Mr. Chair, I would like to call Mr. Stewart as the first witness.
Okay, please go ahead, and Mr. Morris, if you can display any exhibits, that would be great.
So the first exhibit that I would ask for you to display is A9, which is the elevations 8 pitch. And do we need to swear Mr. Stewart in, or?
Mr. Stewart, you've previously been sworn at the last hearing. Please be advised you're still under oath.
Yes, okay.
Mr. Stewart, as I mentioned, I know you've been in touch with the building contractor, and this is similar to the original design of the garage as proposed with some additions. If you could just kind of walk us through some of the features, including the color scheme, the shutters, roof pitch, height, things of that nature.
Yes, my audio okay?
Coming in clearly.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, thank you for hearing the application tonight. So as Mr. Pape had mentioned, I met with the contractor to see what I could do to address some of the concerns of the board and the public. And what we came up with are a few things here. First of which, the material used on the outside will be a stucco sort of textured finish, which it's my understanding you should have received samples that we turned in. I don't know if you actually have them or.
Pam, do you know if those samples?
No, the professionals have the samples. I was not in the office for a while because I had a death in the family. So they did not receive that. I took copies of that as best I could and used that as one of our exhibits, but our professionals physically received those.
Okay. So I know they're presented as a scanned version. The physical version might be a little more helpful because the exterior does have a kind of a textured finish that would help soften the appearance. But sorry, continue, Mr. Stewart.
Right. So it's just a change in the material finish from the original, which would, as Jarrett mentioned, soften the appearance of it and let you know less reflective light from it. Also, the ceiling height on the building has been lowered by a foot due to, I was made aware of an alternate garage door track system, which would allow the building height to be lowered from 16 to 15 feet, the ceiling height. So that takes a foot off either of the two pitches, which are presented, this one on the screen now being the 8-on-12 pitch, which is more similar to what my house is as far as the pitch goes. There's also an alternate of a 6-12 pitch, which lowers it an additional 3 feet.
And before we switch over to the shorter building, could you just discuss the two-tone color scheme, and the shutter colors, and how that would
A couple things. The we did it with a watermark two-tone, which will should help blend it into the ground a little bit, soften the appearance as well.
In fact, if you scroll down, I think to the next page, it's either page 2 or 3, you get a good side view, which may show a different perspective of the coloring scheme. One more. So there you can kind of get a good side view.
So a couple things here. So you can see the watermark on the front. We've had we had shutters, but we've illustrated that they're green to match my house, that's the color of the shutters on my house. We've also raised the height of the windows from, I believe they were basically 3 foot tall windows up to 5 foot tall windows, which are what is on the first floor of my house as well. So those match the house as well.
Excellent. If we could switch over to I want to show the alternate design that was prepared by the building contractor, which is virtually the same thing, with the only difference being a little bit of a flatter roof. It's a 6-pitch, and so as a result, it's a little shorter. That was a comment that was raised at the last meeting. So I would ask if you could bring up Exhibit A10, which is the elevations 6-pitch.
Mr. Pape, can we just clarify which of these two designs is the applicant proposing now? I don't want us to look at 5 different designs. I want one design that the applicant's proposing, and that's what we're going to review and base our decision on. So which one is it?
The applicant would be most pleased to go with the first option. The reason we're presenting two is because at the last meeting, there was a discussion about, can we make this building lower? So we wanted to be responsive to those comments and present this alternative design. Mr. Stewart would be most pleased to go with the first option, but if the board prefers the shorter, the option that's on the screen now, he would be pleased to do so as well.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
So again, if Mr. Stewart, if you could just explain the main difference, which really is just the height and the roof. And
yeah, it's just the lower pitch, is an overall reduction of 4 feet from the initial plan of the building. So otherwise it would be, with the lowered ceiling height, it would be 1 foot lower with the 8-12 pitch, which I believe the board's planner at the last meeting had mentioned would be probably preferable to matching the house better. So,
correct. Okay. If you could bring up the A13 exhibit, I just want to take just a minute to go through the existing forest, if it's possible to rotate, thank you. Just the existing forest conditions. We took a number of photographs, these are all from this year, taken from the street looking toward the house and where the proposed garage would go. We took these pictures in the winter and in the summer, so you could see what the difference is and just get a sense of what it looks like now. So these pictures that are on the screen now, I believe, are from March. And you can see on the left side, you can see the motorhome back there. And Mr. Stewart, could you confirm that is the general location of where the proposed garage would be located?
Yes, yeah, so I parked the motorhome basically on the footprint of where the building would be, just to visualize a street view. And in the winter when you have the least amount of cover. So that's what you see there in that picture. You scroll down, I think there may be some other views.
Yeah,
that's from higher up in the street. Now this is going down Evergreen as you pass my house. So now the elevation of the street goes downhill. So there's a much bigger change from the street to where the building would be. It's you're further down. I think this was discussed at the last meeting as well.
And if you scroll down a bit more, I think maybe two or three more, there's going to be a summer version. Here we go. So this is from July. So just to give you a sense of what the forest looks like from the street when everything is in full bloom. And this was discussed at the last meeting. So to be responsive to those comments, we're providing these photos just to give a better sense of what it really looks like at the moment. Mr. Chair, that's really all I have of Mr. Stewart at this time. If there's any questions for him, he's available to you. If not, I would ask for our next witness to come up.
One question I have is, how tall is the actual building? And again, I don't know if that's Mr. Stewart's answer.
It's on the elevation shown as with the 8-12 pitch, is 27 feet 11 inches.
What about the 6-12?
The 6-12 is 24 feet 11 inches.
Okay, thank you.
And I think we'll have a pretty good exhibit with our next witness to demonstrate the height as of the proposed garage as compared to the primary house. So if there are no further questions, I would ask for our next witness, which will be Donna Bullock.
Let's just check with the other board members. Board members, before Mr. Stewart, before we go to the next witness, do you have any questions for Mr. Stewart?
I do. How high is the main residence?
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
How high is the main residence?
I think that might be a better question for Donna Bullock to answer, since Crest had their team go out and take measurements. May be a better question for Ms. Bullock.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Stewart at this point? If not, we can move on.
I just have one quick question. Was there any consideration given to reducing the overall size or the square footage of the building? I think that was also one of the concerns that was brought up.
The size is a function of the items to be stored in the building, which is a motorhome and travel trailer. There really is not much room in terms of the footprint to make it smaller. The only place to really make it smaller was the height, which doesn't necessarily reduce the square footage. That's why we presented those two options. But the size, as I mentioned, is really just a function of the motorhome and the travel trailer.
How long is the actual motorhome?
It is approximately 38 feet.
And the overall building that's proposed is 48 feet?
48 feet. They basically are in increments of 8 feet. So, I mean, the next size down without getting really custom is 40 feet, which really doesn't leave room for other storage that I want to have in there, which is motorcycles and some other miscellaneous things, lawn equipment, machinery, stuff like that. Because I have to eliminate a shed that I currently have some of those things stored in.
As part of this application, Mr. Stewart has agreed to remove a shed that is in a setback area, which currently stores some of those items that he mentioned.
And the garage doors are 15 feet?
14 feet.
14-foot garage doors. And the overall height on the building that you're looking at, the 8-on-12, was almost 28 feet, right?
Correct.
Okay, so the upper area, is that going to be used for a loft? What's the use of that?
I really don't have any planned use for that right now.
Is there access going to be to that area?
I hadn't planned on it. No.
So it's going to be an open ceiling?
Yes, just with the trusses.
Exposed truss, metal trusses?
Wood. Wood.
Wood trusses. Okay.
Right. So how high is the main residence again?
Again, I think in our next exhibit, we have Don is prepared to go over the heights of both the proposed garage, or both of the proposed garages and the height. So I do think that would be better addressed by Ms.
Okay, one other comment about something you said earlier. In your earlier part of the presentation, you said something about something having an appearance to soften it. The
material.
I mean, the pictures indicate a typical, what would normally be called board on batten. And this is, of course, not wood. This is metal to look like wood, I presume. Is that correct?
Yeah, with the stucco finish, it would have a soft appearance, more like wood.
So even though it's metal, they can make it look as though it has a stucco finish. That's what I didn't understand.
Yeah, that's why I got the samples from the builder. I was hoping that you would have in your hands to feel. It's not like a typical smooth metal. It's got a texture to it.
It's a rough textured surface that kind of creates a shadowing appearance.
Okay, thanks.
Would it be more like a corrugated effect, the exterior of this building?
Yes.
I'm not sure. What could you explain that?
Corrugated, as in metal sheets. There's valleys, crevices, flues to it.
Yes, and if you look, you know, at the elevations, you can see the vertical corrugations on the building, but the texture of that metal is. Give us a softened appearance.
Okay. You had mentioned wood trusses. So it's basically a pole barn then.
They call it post and beam construction. Yeah.
Well, that's a type framing, but the use though, the corrugated metal effect, it's a pole barn.
If you want to call it that.
Okay.
Also, I think term, when you say corrugated, corrugated usually denotes curved surfaces. The pictures indicate a different type of surface. More like I said, board and batten is not corrugated. They're two completely different looks.
Well, I'm not sure what the board and batten is exactly.
Well, board and batten just simply looks like a picture of lumber that is square on all its corners, everything right angles. That's board and batten. If you took vertical boards, placed them vertically next to each other, and then took a smaller, thinner board over the seam, and that's what the picture indicates.
Oh, I see what you're saying. From the street, you would never be able to tell. It's 150 feet back.
Okay, unless we have any other burning questions for Mr. Stewart, I think we should move on to the next witness.
So our next witness is Donna Bullock. She testified at the last meeting as well as a professional engineer. Does she need to be sworn in again?
Ms. Davella? The answer should be no. She's still under oath. I want Ms. Davella to say it.
I know. I apologize. I hit mute. Yes, Ms. Bullock, you previously been sworn. Please be advised you're still under oath.
Thank you.
So I would ask if we could bring up Exhibit A11, which is the elevation perspective. And again, similar to the last meeting, there were comments about the appearance of the building. So Mr. Stewart has taken steps to essentially provide additional buffers between the street view and the proposed garage. So it would be pretty well hidden from street view. There were also questions at the last meeting regarding the height of the garage, as well as the height of the existing home. So we have two elevation perspective exhibits, one for each of the two building designs. The first one here, Exhibit A, demonstrates the proposed 8-pitch roof. And there's also included in this plan are the added landscaping, which we'll touch on more in the next exhibit. But Ms. Bullock, if you could just kind of walk us through the elevations shown here, the heights of each building, and explain how the garage was designed to be subordinate to the primary house.
Certainly. This perspective is intended to show the sides of the existing house and the proposed garage, not necessarily in any area in the front yard, but just an arbitrary line within the front yard so that you could just focus on the houses. The trees that you see that are above the height of the houses are arbitrary, but the trees that you see around the proposed garage, those are the proposed trees. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. I just wanted to clarify that the houses and the existing house and garage are real relative to size as well as the proposed garage.
If you could walk us through the difference in elevation and heights of the two structures.
Right. Well, as we know, the elevations of the existing dwelling are fixed. And as mentioned, the existing elevation of the peak of the roof of the existing dwelling is 28.5 feet. And the height of the garage from the slab within is 21.3 feet.
And that's the existing garage part of the house, correct?
That is correct. This elevation, which is the 8-on-12, shows from the peak to the base of the slab of the garage, 27 feet 11 inches, so approximately 28 feet. Also note that there is approximately 125 feet between the proposed garage and the existing home, and the
Well, that's pretty much it. The next exhibit that we'll see will be the 6-on-12, which will just show the lower roof elevation, giving a proposed elevation of the garage of 21.3 feet.
So if you could pull up, that would be exhibit A12. Virtually the same exhibit, just with the other proposed garage placed in the screen.
Yes, this shows the lower of the two options. Oh, they're the actual elevations of the peaks of the roof. Because the finished floors are different on the home and the proposed garage, the finished floor is about 4 feet lower than the existing dwelling. We're showing the elevations of the peaks so that we can see the difference between the peaks of the proposed garage and the existing home garage and the existing peak of the roof. So you can see in this case that the proposed garage height to peak is 3 inches less than the existing garage attached to the house.
Yeah, the heights are obviously important, but we wanted to show the elevations because we thought that was significant as well, because it gives you a better sense of when you're standing on the driveway looking at these two buildings, how tall each of them appear. And again, you can see that the proposed garage in both cases is going to be shorter in height than the primary residence, again, designed to be subordinate to the primary residence.
If you could go back to the other exhibit for one moment, we can then see that the proposed elevation.
That would be A11.
Yes. The proposed elevation is at 271.42. So if you look across at the home, that would be maybe 3 feet higher than the existing garage. And the proposed garage would be about 4 foot lower than the existing home. So that cuts like right between the two. It's not lower than the existing garage like the 6-on-12, but this is like a happy medium where the height of the proposed garage is pretty much in between the existing garage of the house and the existing home roof peak.
Hey, Donna, can you answer the direct question?
Yes.
What is the height of the existing home rather than the elevations? We know the proposed height of the garage is 27 feet 11 inches. What is the height of the existing home at its peak?
28.6 feet.
Okay, so it's like 7 inches higher than the proposed structure.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Seven inches higher.
Okay. It's one that needed to know whether this is actually bigger than the house from a pure height standpoint.
Yes. Oh, wait a minute. What was your question? I'm sorry. The difference between the existing home and the proposed garage?
Well, yeah. What is the height of the existing home, period?
26.8 feet.
I think you had that flipped. 28.6 from the garage slab, correct?
The house or the garage?
House.
The existing house.
What's the height of the existing house?
28.6. Donna had it right the first time.
Yes.
I think she had just flipped those two numbers. Is 28.6 feet from the garage slab to the peak of the house?
Right.
I have to make one comment, or I think I'll explode. Why couldn't you just simply have a diagram showing three buildings, one next to another, from the end, so you see how high the peak is, with all three buildings next to each other? Wouldn't have that been simpler, without the trees, without anything, just to show an architectural with a line drawing of three buildings next to each other? That would have been simpler.
Yes. But I do believe at the last hearing, we were asked to do some type of elevation perspective that integrated some of the landscape with the proposed garage and the existing home. So it could give you the appearance of what it would really look like.
I understand what you're saying. This diagram that you have before us now is very nice, and it answers the question that you just referred to. But you could have had both. You could have had a simple line drawing and this as an addendum.
You are correct. Yeah, you are correct. We could have done that. Yes, I apologize.
Decided to add the pretty pictures and the proposed trees. I thought it'd give it a little more of a realistic look. So sorry to create any confusion, but we were with this option and we created duplicates because of the additional building plan. I think I'd like to move on. If there's no other questions on this exhibit, I would like to discuss the proposed landscaping plan.
Before we leave this height question, I think the reason Mr. Vella was asking about actual heights of buildings is our ordinance doesn't specify elevations. It specifies relative heights. And, so we need to understand exactly what the height of each of the buildings is from the bottom of the building, I would presume, is how we would measure it per the ordinance. And again, the accessory buildings are supposed to be less than the principal structure per the ordinance. And the accessory building is limited, I believe, to 20 feet or something like that. Again, we need to understand what variances come into play here. And the job of the board, of course, is to try and minimize the variances to the extent possible. So that's why we're concerned about this.
If it would be helpful to the board, I could just, for clarity of the record, I could go over the heights of the garages and the height of the house and the height of the existing garage once more. Would that be preferred?
Yes.
Okay. So the height of the proposed garage with the, as shown, with the 8x12 roof, is 27 feet 11 inches. The height of the proposed garage with the 6x12 roof is 24 feet 11 inches. So there's a 3-foot differential between the two proposed garages. The height of the existing house, the taller portion of the house, measured from the garage slab, is 28.6 feet. And Donna, please confirm this after I go over it. The height of the garage portion, the existing garage portion of the house, from measured from the garage slab, is 21.3 feet.
Everything that you said, those three heights given, are correct.
Okay. I have a question for Matt before we move past this. Yes. Matt, When we measure the height of a house, do we do it from the garage slab or do we do it from some other point of reference?
You actually measure it from the existing ground elevation, then you add a foot, then you go to the peak of the house. But that's when you propose the house. That's what's permitted.
So I just want to add something here while on the subject, because this is something I testified to at the last meeting. And it was on the variance sketch that Donna prepared based on information that I gave her. I physically measured from the roof to the ground while being on the roof on the right-hand side of the house, opposite end of the garage. The peak is 30 feet from the ground. So that includes the foundation. That's where the number came from at the last meeting. Crest came out. And shot their elevations, and they used the garage floor. In my discussions with them, I raised that question. So
the house height is conforming. I think the accessory structure cannot be higher than the principal building's height. So there's no problems there.
Right.
Yeah, it's not.
What's permitted is 16 feet high accessory structure, unless the accessory structure is architecturally compatible to the principal structure. If it's compatible, then it's 20 feet. So that's what I guess we got to figure out if this, the accessory structure is compatible to the principal building or not. That's the first question.
Matt. And in either case, both of the buildings proposed exceed the 20 feet, correct?
That's correct. One's 24 and change, one's almost 25, 24.11, and the other one is 27.11.
But as of right now, the applicant's only asking for approval of the 27.11 one. So that's the only one we really should be discussing.
They call it alternate. I'm not sure what that means.
It doesn't mean anything. They have another plan. Unless they want to propose that, it doesn't really mean anything.
I have a quick question, Mike. Does the cupola fit into this at all, or is that just an exception out?
That's it. They're exempt. That you don't count that as your height.
Okay.
So our understanding was the architectural compatibility requirement is required if the proposed structure is visible from the street. So we took steps to mitigate the view from the street. And I would like to bring up the next exhibit, which is exhibit A15, which is the variance plan with the proposed landscaping. So as I mentioned, after our last meeting, the applicant's landscape architect and a landscape architect from Mr. Shafai's office and myself and the applicant met on the property, walked around the property, and the landscape architects were looking for the best places to put trees to create an additional buffer from the trees and the forest that already exists, as we already showed you in the photographs, again, to create an additional buffer. And they were demonstrated on the last, on the elevation perspective, but this is in plan view. So I would ask if Donna could just go over the proposed landscaping here, identify the trees and the heights of the trees, and how it would create a buffer between the garage and the street.
Certainly. There are two proposed types of evergreen trees. We have American hollies, which are
Yeah, I gotta find the mute button here. Hold on.
I love it.
So the American hollies, there's six proposed. They are to the left side of the garage, and we have seven Canadian hemlocks proposed. Go from kind of like the front portion of the garage, and then it extends into the driveway area, which from the view from the road can block a bit of the front entrance of the proposed garage as well. The common features of these two evergreen trees and why they were decided or, you know, chose to be used for this purpose is that they are shade tolerant. They have low branches, so they don't grow and grow with a trunk. The branches stay low. And this is a faster growing variety of evergreens. And the use of these type of evergreens is for barriers or privacy screening. And the other reason is because they're a very dense type of tree. So the proposed hollies, which are to the left, their planting height is 6 to 7 feet, and they grow annually about 6 to 8 inches. So just using that 3-year time period that was on the landscape architect's letter of, you know, a 3-year time period of watching over the trees to make sure that they grow and are strong, that would be an additional 2-foot growth for that 3 years. The hemlocks are planted at a height of 7 to 8 feet, and they grow slightly slower than the holly. So after 3 years, they'll have an additional height of 1.5 feet. And the maturity of these trees vary, but it could be almost 50 feet. It could be almost 50 feet for the holly I'm sorry, 50 feet for the hemlock and 35 to 45 feet for the holly. And so those are the mature heights, but they vary based on, you know, how much shade is over them and how much sun they get. But the reason they're there too is because we're bringing them in low and they don't need 100% sun to grow. They can grow in the shade and eventually cover up the side of the structure.
So eventually. As I mentioned, this plan was developed after the meeting took place with the landscape architects at the property, after which Rick Wiener, the applicant's landscape architect, designed this plan, forwarded it to Mr. Picatashi for his review, and we were pleased with his review. It was his conclusion that the existing forest adequately screened the proposed garage from street view when it was in full bloom, you know, in the warmer months. Sorry, was there a comment?
No.
Sorry, background noise. And it was also his conclusion that this additional landscaping, these additional trees, would provide adequate screening in the winter months when obviously the trees are you know, have no leaves on them, and the visibility is there's more visibility. So we were pleased with his result. If there are no questions, are there any questions on this plan?
Just to add to that, Mr. Picatashi also did mention that it will take up to 15 years for these trees to grow to 20, 25 feet high to height the whole building.
Yeah, and I should mention there is some elevation change as well. So if you're standing, and maybe if we flip back to the photographs, if you're standing on the driveway looking at where the proposed garage would be, you could see there is some elevation change. So, it would create an additional buffer from the street view. This photo can show the elevation change. Are there any questions from the board regarding the, or additional comments from the board professionals regarding the landscaping plan?
I have a question about the elevation. If the street's lower and the elevation of the lot, as we see in the driveway, is upwards, isn't that gonna make the building aesthetically more appearing from the street? Rather than if it was lower, you wouldn't be seeing the entire building.
The reason I raised the elevation.
I'm not clear on how you're justifying that the street dips down, but the lot is higher. So it's, to me, it's like being up on stage.
The reason I raised the elevation was that the by placing the trees in front of the building, they would have a greater effect of blocking the building as you're looking up at those trees.
I believe Mr. Shafai had a comment on this at the last meeting about being lower, the street being lower. I don't know if you recall that, Mr. Shafai.
The street is anywhere from 5 to 10 feet lower, yes, depending right. on which part of the street you stand in.
Right, and you had an opinion on that at the last meeting.
Yes, I did.
Could also mention that as you're on the street looking in, your view is lower. So, you know, if you looked over at a regular plane, you might see things before the landscaping by the garage, where as you continue to walk westerly along Evergreen Court, you continue to go down grade, so it will actually be out of your view as you go down the street.
And I also want to raise a comment.
How far down the street do you have to go to where it's going to give you what you're saying then? That's what I'm missing here.
Well, we don't have topography that goes beyond our property, so...
Probably not more than 50 feet.
Well, we can't say... without having
opinion, having lived
Okay.
30 years.
I'm just looking at this. Your house is situated on a corner lot.
Right.
Your elevation of the actual lot is higher than the street. So naturally your home, your front yard is looked up at, meaning it's higher. So you're looking right up in up above into it, like you're looking up a hill. So you're seeing the top. So I understand, going down the street, it's going to dip. Obviously, any elevation would dip because you're away from that area. I'm just trying to see and understand how something could be higher to begin with, and it's not going to be seen at almost 28 feet.
Well, that's because the addition of the new vegetation, which will be buffering the garage from the view from the street.
Yeah, as you can see, there is...
And that was said that takes... I'm sorry to cut anyone off. My apologies. I'm just trying to understand this. And that could take 15 years?
Anywhere from 10 to 15 years.
Okay.
That's to hide the building almost completely.
That's correct.
I question whether that, it should be a real consideration. I mean, if it was a 20-foot tall building, you would see that the same.
So again, the purpose of these photographs, both winter and summer photographs, were to show the existing forest conditions as well as the distance that the proposed garage would be set back. We've introduced the other landscaping plan to show the additional steps the applicant is willing to take to mitigate that buffer. And I also wanted to add that we are presenting the alternate design, and the one of the main reasons to do so was that the alternate design is shorter. So if they each have their pros and cons. The 8-pitch matches the house and therefore would be more architecturally compatible. But on the other hand, the 6-pitch doesn't quite match the house exactly, but it would be shorter. And Mr. Stewart would be perfectly pleased to do either option if that were the pleasure of the board.
One last question to the height. What's the RV that, can you go back to that RV, please? Okay, what's the actual height of your RV?
Almost 13 feet.
13 feet. You're basically with an 8-on-12 pitch, you're basically at 27 foot 11, 28 feet. So you're looking at that top of that RV, something 15 feet higher than that.
Yeah, and that's just a function of the size of the building and the size of the roof.
I got that clear. I'm just trying to visually understand this from every aspect, give everyone the benefit of the doubt here. That's but if I look at that RV and it was 13, it's almost double the height of that RV would be viewed from a lower elevation from the street up your driveway.
Right, and again, the structure would be designed to have architectural elements, including the color scheme, the green shutters to match the primary residence. It's designed to have a uniform look, as well as I mentioned, to be subordinate to the primary house.
Part of this is to try and match the house to the best of the ability. Now, I could put a 15-foot tall ceiling height building on there and put a flat roof on it and probably conform to the code, at least in terms of height, but it wouldn't look very good with a flat roof.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to make it so that it's has more visual appeal.
Right, and I think we've taken steps by changing the size of the windows and the color of the shutters and the those types of features.
And this building is made for two of these, not just one that the applicant owns, correct?
Two doors.
For two RVs?
Yes. An RV and a trailer, yeah.
The other vehicle would be a trailer, a travel trailer.
So you have mentioned that you may have your son's RV maybe there?
Yeah, he's got a travel trailer.
How big is the travel trailer?
It's about 30 feet, I believe. 30, 32 feet.
And that's your son that lives on an adjacent property, correct?
Right. He's one of the adjoining properties.
If there are any other questions, we're happy to answer them. If not, we do have Ms. Totten available for additional planning testimony. But are there any additional comments or questions from the board at this time?
I don't have any additional comments or questions. Again, I think Ms. Totten testified last time. If any of the changes would affect any of the prior testimony, of course, you know, we'd like to get an update from her. If she's comfortable that what she presented last time in terms of the planning is, you know, sufficiently representative of the project, you know, with these proposed changes, then that's fine. We don't need to hear from her again. It's my opinion. Again, board members, I don't know if you have any planning questions for Ms. Totten based on what you heard tonight. But my opinion is we don't need to go to her unless we have questions from board members.
Or unless Ms. Totten thinks her testimony has changed as a result of these.
We have made some revisions to the plan, which might bolster some of her, her planning comments. I think for that reason, it might be beneficial for her to touch on those comments.
Okay, then let's have her do so.
Mike, I had a quick stucco question. Not having seen the actual material, I kind of feel like that stucco coating would soften those lines and make it look a little less like it's a metal building. Is that the function of the stucco?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be the purpose. And when we reached, when Mr. Stewart reached back out to the building contractor, we were exploring different exterior facades to have that exact effect, that softening effect, to make it a little less visible, not stand out so much. And what they presented was that stucco finish, which, as I mentioned, was delivered to the board. If you had it in your hand, you'd have a much better sense of it. But I think the best description would be kind of a, like I said, stucco textured.
The question before the board is, when we talk about whether you get a bonus 4 feet of height, is whether the building is architecturally compatible to the existing structure. So your existing home, at the last time was testified, was cedar shingles, sliding. And the proposed is a metal building with a stucco finish. So is it the testimony of the applicant, this metal siding with stucco finish is architecturally similar to the existing cedar siding on the home?
Well, I think there's two points to that. One is the architectural compatibility requirement is only there if, you know, to the extent that the proposed garage is visible from the street. So on one hand, we're demonstrating that the visibility from the street, it's not going to be completely hidden, but it's heavily forested. We're prepared to add landscaping to create additional buffer, and the portions that would be seen, which would primarily be the higher ends of the garage, would be architecturally compatible in terms of the color scheme, the green shutters, and some of the other architectural features on the garage.
No, but so you're missing the point though. There's two architectural compatibility issues. One is ones that are in this that can be visible from the street, has to be architecturally compatible. Then there's the second one that deals with the height of the building. It's two different variances. The one variance is that if the structure is visible from public streets, it has to be architecturally compatible. So I guess your position is either A, I need that variance, or B, I don't need that variance because it's architecturally compatible.
Well, it's my understanding that the height variance is required either way because it exceeds 20 feet, correct?
True, but you get a 4-foot bonus from 16 feet to 20 feet if you are architecturally compatible. There you would only need, theoretically, a 7-foot 11-inch variance if you're architecturally compatible. Or B, you would need, if you're not architecturally compatible, you would need a 11-foot 11-inch variance.
Right.
So the question is for the applicant, is it your opinion that you either A, you don't need, you are architecturally consistent for consistent between the two buildings, therefore you don't believe you need the variance for that you satisfy the variance from being viewed from the public street, and you also satisfy the 20-foot height requirement, or B, it's not architecturally similar, so I need a height variance from 16 feet and a variance for the architectural consistency since it's viewed from the public street.
Our position would be, to the extent that the garage is visible from the street, it is architecturally compatible due to the color scheme, the siding and the shutters and the other architectural features on the building.
Okay.
Unless there's any other burning questions right now, let's see if we can get to Ms. Totten.
Can I bring something up? If the accessory structure is visible from the street, the architectural compatibility means same siding, same color, and same shingles on both roofs. So you need that variance no matter what.
Right. We're requesting the height variance in either
and side. Also architectural compatibility under 4-9.11D.
Mr. Chairman, this is McKinley. I have to agree with Matt on this one. I don't think we're reaching that architectural compatibility here with the materials and the style that's being proposed.
Okay, thanks, McKinley. Mr. Pape, do we want to get to Ms. Totten and see what she has to add?
Yes, quickly. That would be appreciated.
Okay, let's do it.
Ms. Totten, you've previously been sworn. Please be advised you're still under oath.
Ms. Totten, are you...
Yes, I was trying to unmute.
Okay. If you could just... I know you... provided planning testimony at the last meeting, but there have been some changes as we've discussed in terms of the varying heights of the proposed garage and the additional landscaping. So to the extent that that changes or changes any of your planning testimony, if you could share that with the board.
Yes. I do have to agree that both of the variances are still required. But what I would like to add is in the negative criteria. So I had originally said that we're trying to promote the goal I, a desirable visual environment through creative development techniques and good civic design. And I had spoken that this will not have a substantial detriment to the public good, for many of the reasons that you just heard, that there's matching, and this goes for the building height, the building size, as well as for the architectural. And it's not fully visible. The building, even without the landscaping, is not fully visible from the street. It's blurred by the existing landscaping, particularly in the summer. So the things that have been done to the building design further the compatibility beyond what it was before. Before it had windows, it had gray color matching the house. It does have a different type of shingle, no shingle really at all. It's a standing seam roof, and it obviously has a different type of material. What's been done to bring it closer into compatibility is to texture the surface so that it is what the shadowy effect gives it from a distance, the same softer look as the cedar shakes are on the house. The bigger windows match the windows on the house. he was able to lower it a foot by using a different scheme for the garage doors. The garage door shape and configuration always has mirrored or mimicked that of the garage itself, the existing garage. So all of the improvements to the facade bring it closer. It does not entirely match to the letter of the ordinance. So to mitigate that, we're proposing to increase, or I should say decrease, the visibility from the street by adding in some landscaping. And the fact that it's up higher from the road means that when you look at that landscaping, you're looking up. So the landscaping actually appears higher because your eye has to look at an angle up over the top of the trees. So when they're first planted, they're going to not be as tall as the building. That's correct. They will grow, they will fill in, and they're chosen to work well in a shaded area. So we are still requesting the variance, but as you go up, you see less of the building anyway. It's in the lower areas where the tree trunks don't have as many branches that are being filled in with these evergreens that, as testified to, are dense, keep their lower limbs. They're not like pine trees, white pines, which drop their lower limbs, so you get to see everything after a while. So it reinforces my opinion before that you can grant this variance in this particular case because of the large distance that the building is from the street, which makes it look smaller, because of the naturally wooded area that exists now that's being supplemented by evergreens, which there aren't any there now, and by the further further architectural detail that has been added to the building. So that strengthens my previous opinion that the board could grant this without substantial detriment to the zone and zone plan and the public good.
Thank you, Ms. Totten. Mr. Chair, that is the applicant's direct presentation. The witnesses remain available for any questions, and be happy to hear from the board at this time.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Pape. At this point, I'm going to ask the board members if they have, any burning questions for the applicant or professionals. If not, then I would like to get to the public, but just want to make sure there's nothing that really needs to be answered at this point by board or questions by board members that they feel they need answered, immediately. Anything? Okay, I'm not hearing anything. So what I'd like to do now is open it up to the public. I assume we have members of the public out there for this application, and I think it's time to hear from them in an orderly manner on to get their feedback and views on the application, and especially the new testimony presented tonight. So who wants to be first? I know you're out there.
There is a Mr. Ed Potenta, but I'm not sure who Mr. Potenta is.
I know Mr. McAfee testified at the last application. I see him on the line. I see there was a Sean something at the last meeting. I don't see him.
Erlin, I believe that he is a professional for Sylvie.
No, at the last meeting there was a Sean Brueggemeyer who testified. But okay. Is there anyone from the public? Now, hold on. Does the host, can the host unmute everybody?
I can do it manually.
Yeah, because I just want the members of the public, if you could just, the ones that are not.
I think I can ask them to unmute.
Well, they could hear us. So if there's any members of the public that want to say anything regarding this, please unmute yourself. Now is your opportunity to make a statement, produce evidence, or the like. I see Mr. Does anyone have any comments at this time before the chairman closes the public portion?
Yeah, this is Jim McAfee. You mentioned my name. I wasn't going to say anything or make any testimony because what I just heard over the last hour and so many minutes seemed to be enough compelling evidence that this dwelling that is being proposed does not fit the residential character, and the R in R130, I believe, is for residential. So I don't think it fits the neighborhood. This is a rural development. You know, you're building this for a motor vehicle and then another motor vehicle. And it's a big, big building that doesn't fit the variances. And nothing I heard tonight should compel you to vote this variance down. And you mentioned forest. I was reminded of the proverb, you can't see the forest through the trees. So I would think about that when you're making this vote, in the sense that you need to look at the bigger picture here, okay? And all the details as well. The details, this is a residential neighborhood. We don't need a large structure for motor vehicles.
Hey, Mr. McAfee, just, you previously have been sworn, all the statements you get are still under oath, and we'll go from there. Thank you, sir.
Terrific.
Okay, anyone else from the public at this time? Please identify yourself. If not, we're going to close the public portion. I'll just give you another 5 seconds. Please identify yourself. Okay, so there's no one else, it appears. So I'm going to close the public portion now. Looks like 8:51 on my clock. And I'm going to turn it back briefly to Mr. Pape, in case you have anything you want to summarize for the board before we begin our discussions.
Yes, just to sum, this is obviously a continued application, and the comments raised at the last meeting, which pertain to the height and the size and the architectural compatibility, all went into our consideration as we made some changes to these plans over the last couple of months. And Mr. Stewart is being responsive by taking the steps that he's taken, by adding landscaping, making some changes to the exterior facade, the color scheme, making the exterior match the existing house. So we would ask the board to vote favorably on this application.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pape. All right, time for the board members to have a discussion on this. Does anyone want to begin? If not, I will. Okay. I don't hear anyone else jumping up to, you know, share their views, so I will. So again, this application, I think, it comes down to two things, two variances that are key. One is the architectural compatibility, and the other is the height. And the third I should mention is also the square footage. We haven't talked much about that, but my understanding is without a variance, the limitation on square footage of a accessory structure is 900 square foot. This one's almost double that, if I recall properly. So there's three issues, really. There's the height, the square footage, and the architectural compatibility. From a planning perspective, I have not heard any compelling evidence, that makes me believe this is going to provide a better planning alternative. Yes, it would hide, a motorhome and a travel trailer from view, but it would also create a huge structure that, again, would be in view. Not fully, of course, given the screening, but, still something that's much easier to see than a motorhome and a travel trailer would be. So I don't see a huge positive in terms of planning. The negative criteria for me, of course, is the visual impacts. And yes, it can be screened, but to ask, you know, the public to wait 10, 15 years, you know, at best to achieve full screening, I think is a stretch for me. I did read Mr. Picotaggi's report carefully, and you know, yes, theoretically these trees that have been proposed could eventually screen the entire building, but you know, as he points out in his report, that would require a lot of care and maintenance. He mentioned drip irrigation systems twice yearly, or at least annual fertilization, and you know, mitigation of issues with the existing trees, you know, in terms of shade and you know, taking water resources from the new trees. Again, theoretically it could happen. In practice, I think it would probably take a long time and may not happen at all to fully screen the building. With regard to the architectural compatibility, I appreciate the efforts of the applicant to try and do the best he can. But in my mind, it's a metal building. Yes, you know, a textured surface can help soften it, but it's a metal building. It's not the same materials as the principal residence. And clearly the heights proposed are much higher than what the ordinance allows. And again, if there's no architectural compatibility and it's viewable from the street, that's a problem. But if there's no architectural compatibility, that also says that, you know, you're limited to 16 feet and not 20, which makes it a bigger variance. You know, and then the third issue is the size, 900 square foot versus, you know, almost 1800, I think is a huge difference. And again, yes, you know, stuff that's outside can be put inside. But again, you know, it's not compelling to me. My inclination at this point is to not approve this variance, but I still have an open mind, and I urge members of the board, and again, this applies to both members eligible to vote as well as other members of the board who are participating but not eligible. I urge you to convince me I'm wrong. So members of the board, you know, please join in. Please go ahead, Barry.
I tend to agree with you, Michael, but I do want to say or emphasize something. I have never heard a better presentation than the one Ms. Cotton gave. And I was almost convinced that I would approve this normally. But when it comes down to the true essence of what we're trying to do here, I think we have to avoid something the military refers to as mission creep. In other words, we want people to enjoy their lives here and have the freedom to do what they want in a rural setting. But at what point do you say it's too big a stretch? And that's really where, in my mind, I would tend to vote no, because it's large. Not to say, though, or to diminish the tremendous effort done by the applicant and Attorney Pape have presented very convincing arguments for it. But again, it's a matter of just too much. There has to be a point where you say, where you draw a line in the sand, you say this far, and
and no more. So reluctantly, very reluctantly, I cannot approve the application.
Okay, thanks for sharing, Barry. Anyone else want to offer their opinions and thoughts?
Mike, I think I had asked a question about the stucco, and I think that part I can't sort of wrestle with is the difference between horizontal and vertical lines. I think that's the kind of thing that no matter what you would do, that's going to show that there's a huge difference. I mean, between it's just a, you know, horizontal and vertical. You know, the solution maybe have to be a stick built building or something a little smaller with siding that matches a house, something that really matches. So I'm having difficulty with that main obvious difference.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Someone else out there?
I'll just add one more comment with reference to the architectural compatibility. Michael, you did a great job summarizing all the key points of this application. But one thing I noticed on the existing garage structure is there's dormers on the garage, and I don't think that was taken into consideration as well for the additional structure. So if the plan's ever going to get revised for more on the line of architectural compatibility, maybe consider that and take what Steve has said and maybe have to different type of structure to include all the aspects to make it match a little bit better. And size is still an issue.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Patrick. Anyone else? Okay. If there's no one else that wants to make any comments at this point, what I'd like to do is ask board members to either make a motion or actually, let me, before that, Mr. Vella, in the event somebody makes a motion to approve, did you capture any conditions?
You're muted, Greg.
Mr. Vella, unmute yourself.
Sorry about that. Okay, from my last meeting, I had the applicant was good as condition approval to remove the 6x10 shed. We talked about reduced height. That was really the only condition as part of the applicant, as from the last meeting to this meeting. The applicant has proposed everything with new architectural plans, and I would submit that the applicant is voting on the 27-foot, 11-foot height application the applicant has proposed and requested.
Okay, and I just want to note for the record, my comments apply to both the current proposal and the alternative presented. It doesn't change my mind for me. I mean, again, board members feel differently, please state so. But at this point, what I'd like to do is ask board members to make a motion to either approve the application with the conditions Mr. Vella just read, additional ones if you have any, or alternatively make a motion to deny the application, in which case, of course, we need no conditions.
Mr. Chair, sorry to cut you off. Would it be possible to have a quick, I know this is a little difficult via Zoom, but a quick break where I can contact?
No breaks. We're done. All right. We have another application tonight. You've already presented everything that you could present. I don't see any reason to delay.
Well, I believe my client may wish to withdraw the application at this time, if that would be acceptable.
Mr. Vella, what do you think about that?
That's up to the applicant. If they want to withdraw, they withdraw. Other than if we vote on it, let's assume it goes down, okay? It'd be raised judicata for another 27-foot, 11-inch thing. The reality is, He could withdraw. If the applicant comes back with the exact same plans, he's going to get the exact same result as what is being perceived. But the reality is, if you vote and deny him at a 27-foot, 11-foot height building, the obligation for the applicant to file a new application is only that there has to be a substantial change, which means he's going to reduce the height, reduce the size. Not very complicated. It's, you know, we spend hours and our nights doing this stuff. You know, we like things coming to a conclusion and then saying, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I wasted all your time. I'm just withdrawing it. I was just trying it. It is the applicant's choice. He can withdraw. I really have never had a board ever say, no, you're not allowed to withdraw. We need to vote on this. There's no necessity to vote. It's his application. If he wants to withdraw, he could withdraw. And that'll be the end of the application. But he's going to at least know that the next time he comes before this at 27 foot 11 inches, he's going to get the same result.
Okay. So we're an hour and a half into the meeting. Let's take a 5-minute break. Mr. Pape, you have 5 minutes to make your decision.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Everyone, come back in five.
Mr. Morris, can you stop recording, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
I can pause the recording. Would that work as well?
Okay, that would be great. Just pause that. That would be great. And we'll start up in five. Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Pape, go ahead.
Thank you for the 5-minute recess. It was much appreciated. The comments from the board, again, remain meaningful. And if it is acceptable to the board, we would request to be carried to a subsequent meeting at a minimum of at least 2 months to give us time to make some revisions. If that is not acceptable, we would request to withdraw this application without prejudice.
What can you give us an idea of what you would change?
The proposed revisions would reduce the size of the building, likely to a one-door garage. I have to explore the other changes in more detail with my client, but the size would be the primary change.
All right, size is important. The other thing that is important is height, and I assume that with the size, a change to a one-door garage that would drop the height requirement as well. And again, you know, we're still concerned about visual aspects from the street. We're still looking for something, you know, that's going to be closer to what the ordinance permits. I don't know what else to say. Mr. Vella, any recommendations here?
Well, I think the idea of carrying for 2 months is in the purview of the board, okay? I don't really see the benefit of carrying it for 2 months to substantially change the plan. Other than we're talking, he's going to have to renotice. He has the plans already, so he's going to make revisions. If he's going to come back with something so substantial, why doesn't he file a new application? I understand there may be a couple of fees associated with it, but the reality is if it's going to be so substantial a change, then shouldn't we just start anew? But that's up to the board. We're going to come back in 2 months and say, you guys remember everything from June. Now we're in October, November, December at this point, says, oh yeah, we've completely changed it. We have to start our essential testimony from the beginning. It just seems like a waste of time. But that's up to the board. I don't see the benefit of, we're not talking a 5-foot setback issue. This is going to be a substantial change. New architecturals, new engineering, new landscaping plan. Everything's going to be new. It's not even going to be similar.
Okay. It sounds to me like your recommendation is to have the applicant withdraw without prejudice.
Or let us vote. That's up to him. I don't see the huge benefit of we were carried it last meeting for him to make changes. Our comments have not changed much since the first meeting. Right?
Okay. I agree.
So I just don't see pushing it down 2 months is any benefit to anybody or to the members of the public that have to sit out there and wait to have a hearing another 2 months. Let them have a new application. I don't see any benefit of it.
All right. Thank you. Board members, somebody was going to mention something? Go ahead.
Yeah, I disagree with Greg. I think this board is here to help our residents, not hinder them. And if it's going to cost them a lot of money to resubmit, I would rather say, hey, take 2 months. The elevations are the same. The idea is the same. Just the drawings are a little different. Trees are a little different. To help the guy out a little bit. And, that's just my opinion that we should let it carry.
Okay. Thanks, Steve, for your opinion. Anyone else on the board want to provide any alternate opinions?
I got my one. Opinion
for, go ahead, Andy.
I'm sorry, Pat.
No, go ahead, Andrew.
Thank you. In my opinion, I can't see how anything is going to be revised from architectural, the aesthetics, the height, the length of this building, the overall structure, that's going to benefit the resident there, the applicant, to fit this camper in there for his use. That's going to come back to this board where we're going to say, wow, what a drastic change. Now you're within it. I just can't see how that's going to happen. To me, we have a lot of residents that have to come in here. There's probably applications waiting to be heard, as well as residents now that it just dragging up for 2 months, as well as our time here. Trying to be fair, I understand Mr. Stewart, his needs for this. I just can't see how it's possible where you're going to fit that size vehicle into something that's going to be downsized, rewritten, re-scripted, that's going to come across this board's table in 2 months, and it's going to change our view on this today, 2 months down the line, where we're going to have a different outcome. I just think it's wasting valuable time.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, clearly it has to be substantially different application.
First one.
I'm sorry?
We have other RVs hidden in garages in this town. This would not be the first one. We've actually approved one over on down at the end of Millstone. I forget, you know, off of Perrineville Road. So it's not the first one.
Yeah. We've never, again, you know, my tenure on the board, we've never approved one this size to hide an RV.
I didn't say this size, but we have approved them.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I agree with you.
The important part, Steve, I think you're missing the important part is the structure in a residential zone. This structure, the size, you see.
I'm talking about this structure. I'm talking about carrying the application. I understand the structure. I understand.
Yeah, okay. So let's explore this a little bit more. You know, what's the difference to the applicant? You know, clearly they have to pay their professionals to redo a lot of things. They're going to pay our, you know, escrow fees, and our board professionals are going to have to redo their reports as well. So I don't see a significant savings versus, you know, new application versus redo of the existing application. I don't see a huge penalty to make them start over with a new application. What it does do is it would, you know, push them back behind any other applications that are coming in. But quite frankly, I think they're going to need the time anyway. I tend to agree with Greg. We should just offer the applicant they can withdraw without prejudice and submit a new application. You know, Steve, I appreciate your point of view. And yeah, we do want to help the residents, but we also want to help residents who aren't submitting an application as well. And we also want to help other residents who might be submitting an application that gets stuck behind this one as well. So that's my opinion. I think we should, you know, either vote tonight or let the applicant withdraw. That's my opinion. You know, besides Steve, feel strongly that we should do something else. Please, you know, make your case
now. Just wanted to make one other general comment. This may be a question for Greg to answer. With a new application or existing application, any of the board members that weren't able to vote on this because the initial, are we going to be able to start over? So the board applicants that are not eligible to vote, would they still be not eligible with new plans, or how would that work? So maybe it may behoove him to just withdraw to have all board members.
It would work one of two ways. But one way would be the board members listen to the other meeting and then they're caught up. But actually the reality is we don't even have a tape of the last meeting. So forget Project A. Okay. B would be the applicant would have to start off the meeting saying, please ignore all you board members who didn't hear our day one testimony because of audio failure, of no fault to the applicant or the board, is we're starting fresh. Forget everything I told you. I'm starting anew, and everything before, forget about. That's the only way the board members can vote on it, because they couldn't hear the testimony. We don't have a transcript. We have nothing of the first hearing. They have to say, listen, forget everything. We're starting brand new. And therefore, all the board members could vote and participate. Unless there's some other way someone recorded the prior meeting, that's the only legitimate way to do it.
Yeah. Okay. I think you had another reason to you know, start over with a new application. So anyone have a last chance to change their minds here? Anyone? Okay. So let's go back to Mr. Pape and offer him that option.
We would follow your guidance and request to withdraw this application without prejudice.
Okay. Very good, Mr. Pape. And again, you know, we'll look for an updated application some point in the future.
And the reality is that's the only way you're going to have all the board members hear the application that, you know, of no fault to you or anybody else.
Right. Got it.
And again, you know, I hope it's not a huge burden. I don't think it will be. To just resubmit the application. I don't think it's going to make a tremendous difference to the applicant either.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the reality is that if there are going to be substantial changes, he's going to have to send the same amount of copies he would have done to initiate the application as compared to amending the application. So Pam would need them all anyway. It'd be the same thing.
Okay, so what do we need to do to have him withdraw? Do we need a resolution or anything? Or?
We need, Mr. Chairman, we need a motion to accept the withdrawal without prejudice, and the board makes no findings of fact or conclusions of.
Okay, I'll make such a motion. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Frost?
I will second it.
Okay, thanks, Barry. Pam, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, hang on just 1 second. Chairman Novellino?
Yes.
Mr. Frost?
Yes.
Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Mostyn?
Yes.
Mr. Ferrara?
Yes.
And Mr. Mangano?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you all, and good night.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, let's get the agenda back up and we can move to the next application. Okay, now next up is continuation. Oh, it says new application, is that right?
Yes, well, you know, Mr. Vella, Mr. Pape did begin with but I'm asking him to begin all over since it was just a 10-minute item. And we have a full board tonight to hear this.
Okay, so it is essentially a new application. We just had an introduction at the previous meeting.
There you go.
Nothing substantial. No. So if Mr. Pape is ready, wanted to come forward, and Mr. Vella, make sure or do your acceptance of the application or whatever it takes to get this moving.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make it quick. Mr. Chairman, have you noticed you joining property as an affidavit publication? They're in order. We have jurisdiction to hear this matter. As our board secretary indicated, this application was initially heard on 6/24/2020. However, that the hearing produced Peter Strong only testified for about 2 seconds. It's my understanding that audio tape of that meeting was not been able to be listened to by other board members. So it's my understanding, and for the record, that testimony by Peter Strong has been removed from the record. All board members who heard that shall forget it, and we're going to start anew and to start this application. So, Mr. Pape, what I'm going to do, because Pam, do we have the exhibit lists on the county, the board website?
We do, and I can have, I did email that out to you and to everybody and to Mr. Pape as well. But okay,
Mr. Chairman, to save time, instead of me reading A1 through A19 in the record and BOA 1 through 7, they are on the website, so they are considered marked for the record and will proceed with any new evidence as A20, but it'll save me 25 minutes of reading these to the record. They're already posted on the website. We all have that. That'll save everybody some time. Okay?
Okay. Appreciate that. Let's get started.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, board's professionals. Kenneth Pape of the firm Heilbrun Pape on behalf of your applicant. We did begin the presentation of the application at your last meeting. We do agree that it was a brief introduction and a late hour. And in light of the technical difficulties that occurred, we appreciate the opportunity to begin again and will. This is an application of Sylvie Concrete to essentially take down their existing garage building, which is right now highly visible from the road and sitting right in their driveway and is red and yellow. They would like to take it down and rebuild the garage in the back of the site to change its architecture and its colors and to use the front of the site for a parking area and to also to enhance the landscaping. You'll hear from the applicant. There is no change in concrete production. There is no change in the intensity of use. There's no change in the number of employees. There's no change in the number of concrete delivery trucks. There is no change in the concrete facility. It is limited to a reconfiguration of the building's location, a reaffirmation of the applicant's intention to convert its fleet from diesel to natural gas. Our client has indicated the last time in 2016, has made application for grants to do that work and has not yet received it for this one, but they remain committed to doing so. So that is our presentation. The presentation will be made by Peter Strong, the engineer who has for many years been handling the design of this site, including the last couple of applications. Also assisting in the presentation is Scott Kennel, who is our traffic engineer. There were substantial changes on site circulation, working with your fire officials, which Mr. Kennel will point out to you. And there's also more formal parking on the site. Mr. Steve Rudosti has designed the new building and he'll present that building to you, both as to its utilitarian purposes and its appearance. With us is Sean Erlin, who is an executive with the company and has previously spoken on behalf of the company to this board. Also with us is Frank King, who is director of operations for the company and is available if there are any questions with regard to operations. And our final witness is Allison Coffin. With that as the outline, I believe that we'll move as efficiently as we can, Mr. Chair. If we're moving too swiftly, please slow us down. If anyone feels we've missed a point, please slow us down. But Mr. Peter Strong, we're beginning anew. So notwithstanding that your testimony began with your credentials, I'd ask if you could be sworn and if you could share your credentials with the board this evening.
Mr. Strong, please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the following testimony about to give the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name, sir.
Peter W. Strong, Strong, with Crest Engineering at 100 Reich Drive in Millstone.
Okay, and I believe we've heard Mr. Strong's credentials many times. No point in repeating since we're limited on time. So we'll accept Mr. Strong as a professional engineer tonight, not a planner, correct?
Correct.
He is both. He's testifying just as an engineer. Allison.
All right. All right. You'll be our professional engineer tonight. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Strong, as you testify, if you could describe to the host which exhibit that you wish to see, if not by number, by a description. And I'd ask if we could begin with the aerial photograph. I think that would be a good beginning.
That's A6.
Thank you.
I'm not seeing A6 on the website exactly. Was that in an email somewhere?
No, it should be
aerial.
Yeah. The aerial. What is the number of the aerial, Mr. Morris, under Sylvie?
Lift that up. Again, I can't.
See if I can.
Yeah, it goes right from A5 to A7 on the website for Sylvie.
Okay, just get onto that real quick as well, if I can.
If the board, I don't mean to rush anyone, but it is our usual procedure to begin with an aerial. I believe all members of the board are fully familiar with the property and its location. We could begin with the rendered site plan.
I'd prefer that we begin with something that's on the website. So, you know, take your pick. There's plenty out there.
Well, the site plan is on, of course, on the website. I'm not sure what happened to the aerial.
Okay. We're comfortable beginning presenting this application to the board with the rendered site plan, knowing full well that the board is familiar with the property and its location. So if Mr. Morris, if we could have the rendered site plan to begin.
I think you're referring to A19, if I'm not mistaken.
The color rendering, correct?
That's color.
Yes.
Yeah, go to A19. It's the color display of landscaping and lighting plan. Sheet 406.
Thank you, Mr. Morris.
Yes.
Let's match your pie.
Give me a second here, sorry.
Will that do?
No. There you go. If you can zoom in, that would be excellent.
Yeah.
Well, actually... A little bit.
Too much.
Yeah. I think we need to see the full plans to show.
You want
to
zoom, go out a little bit, actually.
A little bit.
I wish I could.
A little more.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. So, again, if you could describe this exhibit to the board, and then if you could describe existing conditions and describe proposed changes.
Yes, this exhibit shows the entire Sylvie site, and it contains the colored portions are the portions that have been changed from the previous approved site plan, where we we'd gotten approval for replacing the truck parking and fueling along the northeast corner of the site from diesel fuel to natural gas. And all those stations are along that northeasterly border along Iron Ore Road, which is to your upper right, Route 33 at the bottom of the page. As you come into the site from Route 33, there is an existing maintenance building currently at the site, about 4,000 square feet. And the previous application had intended to expand that building to the side to make it wider and match the same length to provide more space for maintenance of vehicles and that sort of thing. In this particular exhibit, we have removed that, not only the proposed addition, but the existing maintenance building. And we have moved it to the rear of the site on the north end, where you see the red color. That is the proposed new 9,600 square feet maintenance building in the back that would have its own septic system and well, and would provide circulation where the vehicles would enter from the easterly side of the building and then exit on the westerly side of the building, circulate in a counterclockwise direction. There are also some additional parking spaces along the front where we were able to remove the existing septic system as we removed the building. So we were able to create a paved parking area, which is where you see just to the left of the entrance off of Route 33. It's kind of a brown tan color area. That's the new paving with the new parking spaces for the employees. And landscaping that would hide some of that parking from the Route 33 viewscape. Where the building, existing building is and has now been removed, we have additional landscaping as a site feature as you enter the site itself rather than staring at a maintenance building. There will be a landscaping area. And behind that, you see the dappled color, there are some storage bins that would be behind the landscaping and less visible from the roadway. There's also some additional parking to the right of the entranceway. There is parking there now, but it has been expanded slightly and more organized. And there's again landscaping that is being proposed between the parking and the Route 33 right of way. and that's the basic application and changes from the previous application that have occurred to this application, the site plan.
The board may recall when we were in 2016, there had been the Jersey Central Power and Light new easement where they installed those large, tall JCPenney telephone poles. And as part of that, they did a very significant removal of natural vegetation in the state highway right-of-way. And the board, I'm sure, recalls there was a real denuding of this site. So this is an opportunity to, when that building is moved deeper into the site, to create a significant landscape plan to replace that which was removed when the JCP&L program was implemented. Mr. Strong, I trust that you've had an opportunity to review the professional report that was issued by Mr. Shafai some months ago.
Yes.
And to the extent that there are technical comments in that report, are you comfortable advising the board that you're familiar with them and you can and you will address them to the satisfaction of Mr. Shafai?
Yes.
And there's no change in the drainage system. There is a drainage system in place. Is that correct?
Yeah, I did want to point out a couple things with regards to that. One, that the impervious area on the site is going to increase slightly from 54.8% to 56.2%. But the stormwater system, which is in the southeast corner behind the gas station on the jug handle there, is designed to handle that increase in impervious area and mitigate the effects of that. We have applied to the DRCC, Delaware and Raritan Canal Commission. They have agreed with our calculations and they are ready to issue a permit to us for this application upon their receipt of the Millstone Board's approval as well as the County Board approval.
Hey, Peter, the reports reference a lot coverage variance of 58%. Did you said it's existing now 54.8 where max permitted is 50 and you're going to what number? Is the reports wrong? Because you said 56 or something like that.
Yeah, 56.2. And this is a result of Mr. Shafai and I have had several conversations with regards to this. There are certain areas of the site that are stone areas as opposed to concrete or asphalt or building area. I made the distinction that those areas were not necessarily impervious, but after Matt and I discussed the issue, we have decided that those gravel areas have been run over by concrete trucks for so many years that in effect they are impervious as far as, certainly as far as runoff goes, so that we are now applying for a variance to increase the impervious cover from 54.8 to 56.2, which is less than what we had originally estimated at 58%, but that's the true numbers that we're looking at today.
Mr. Strong, when you move the building on the site, there'll be some modification of on-site circulation. The actual concrete production facilities are not changed. Vehicle movements associated with concrete production won't be affected. But I'm going to ask if you could describe specifically the concerns that the fire officials had and the method and what you have done to the plan to accommodate the fire officials' requests.
Yes, they had a concern as to whether fire trucks could circulate throughout the site. And we actually made an exhibit, which we shared with the fire department, and it's part of the exhibit list somewhere. If you bear with me for a second.
814.
Fire circulation sketch.
There you go.
Thank you.
Hey, there it is. And so the fire department, when they go to access this site, if you could pull out just a little bit farther, a little more. There you go. They said that their fastest response route to this site would be to come up Conover Road and to actually go through the opening in the median at Conover Road and Route 33 and going a little bit backwards against traffic and then go across and out what is now the exit driveway from the concrete production site. And we've shown that a fire truck can make that maneuver and circulate throughout the site back out to Iron Ore Road and around. And that was what they were concerned about. And we have satisfied that concern with this exhibit.
If I may, these meetings with the fire officials took place back in March. On April 7th, Peter's office delivered this plan and a cover letter to the fire officials. I had the opportunity to talk to Matthew Wagner, the fire official, after he received it, and he said that he was satisfied. Today, I wrote to him and said, Matt, you never sent me a letter. He sent an email that said, I'm sorry I didn't send you a letter, but yes, we're satisfied. And earlier this evening, I did forward Matt Wagner's confirmation email to Pam DeAndre, so it's record. But is it your testimony, Mr. Strong, that this plan was fully responsive to the comments that were brought to your attention by the fire officials?
Yes.
And the fact that they're going to go in and exit, they're the fire department and the firefighters, they can do that. So we
certainly can.
We just made certain that there's, physically it works.
Correct.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I have nothing further of Mr. Strong. I think that he's accurately described to you the revisions from an engineer's perspective. I'm going to ask that Mr. Kennel talk about the circulation in the parking a little bit, very briefly, and then ask Mr. Radosa to describe his building to you. Is there any, does the board or board professionals have any questions of Mr. Strong?
I just want to ask Matt Shafai. Matt, is there anything you want to highlight in your report that Mr. Strong did not mention?
I'm not sure it's Mr. Strong or Mr. Radosti, but the building is 9,600 square feet, but there's also 633 square feet of mezzanine. So just FYI, so it's really 10,233 square feet building. And also the building height, I think somewhere is set 20 feet. I think Mr. Radosti's plan says 30 feet. So I just need somebody to clarify what we're proposing.
We'll do that with Steve's Radasti.
And okay, and I have been talking back and forth with Peter on the drainage, and after we get DRCC's approval, we'll make sure ours work as well.
Okay, thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Anyone else before we move on have any questions for Mr. Strong? If not, I'll propose we move on.
Is somebody else going to talk about the hours of operation?
Yes.
Sure. Mr. Erlin is available. Sure. This has been there for some 50 years, and it has always been a 24/7, and we anticipate that it will remain 24/7.
There were a couple of conditions of the previous approvals. I want to make sure we don't forget that. Maybe we want to put them on a new resolution about crushing time.
All of the conditions that were memorialized in the 2016 remain conditions. I'm responding to your questions, and you're taking me out of sequence, but absolutely no problem at all. All conditions from 2016 carry forward.
Matt and Mr. Pape, as you're aware, the applicant did receive approvals in 2004 and then 2016. I guess this last resolution is 2016/17. The last resolution, which I drafted, had conditions. It also incorporated all the conditions referenced in the 2004 resolution. If the board deems this application favorable, this approval would incorporate the conditions of 2004 as well as 2016/17.
I believe it's 2003 resolution. I'm looking at it right now.
Well, back then there was a series. I remember that we were in front of the board for the...
Well, the one I have, it says the crushing will be Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. And maybe some Saturdays they could do it. So I want to make sure we stick with that condition.
Mr. Shafai, Mr. Chair, members of the board, the conditions that were created remain very comfortable for us to say, yes, this is really just about getting rid of a small building that's in the wrong location and creating a building with greater utility for the workers. That's the only change we're asking that the board consider. So.
Greg, can we repeat that same crushing condition in this resolution?
Yeah, absolutely. It's condition number 12 of the prior one. The applicant is not asking for relief of this prior condition. It's not part of their application, so they're still subject to it. So I could add it so someone doesn't have to look for the 2003 resolution.
Exactly. Because we had the problem last year. We couldn't find it.
There you go. For all the board members, the condition states, the applicant agrees that the crusher, when on site, will operate only Monday through Friday at the hours from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., with the exception of the removal of the current pile, during which the crusher may operate on Saturdays. Obviously, the second half of that sentence is moot. It's been resolved, obviously. So it's Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. is the crush out.
Thank you.
I hope it's resolved. We'll find out.
Okay. Can we move on now?
If you're comfortable doing so, I'll ask Mr. Scott Cannell to be sworn, and we'll very briefly share his traffic expertise credentials. Mr. Vell, if you would swear.
Yes. Please raise your right hand. You swear from the following testimony about to give us the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name, sir.
Yes. Scott Kennel, K-E-N-N-E-L, with McDonough and Ray Associates, located at 1431 Lakewood Road, Manasquan.
Mr. Kennel, you've testified before boards in Millstone before. Would you take just a few minutes to share the duration of your expertise and your expertise with the board?
Sure. I testified on the 2016 application, but I'm a principal with McDonough and Ray Associates with over 35 years of traffic and transportation planning experience. I've testified on over 1,000 traffic impact studies in over 100 municipalities, and I've represented both private and public sector clients in the presentation of traffic testimony.
You professional engineer licensed?
I am not. I qualify as a traffic expert, and I've been accepted in the New Jersey Superior Court on three land use matters as a traffic expert, and that's how I've qualified in every application I've testified as.
Okay. We'll accept Mr. Cannell as a traffic expert then.
Thank you.
Mr. Cannell, I'm going to ask very briefly. There's no change to the driveway system. So the driveway system that provides access to the county road behind us, the driveway system to the state highway in front of us has not changed. You previously testified to it. I trust that you continue to have the opinion that they are safe and adequate driveways for the site.
Correct. Since there is no access modifications proposed to Route 527A or to Route 33, in my opinion, there is no action required by either Monmouth County or New Jersey Department of Transportation.
I will verify that with the county. Mr. Cannell, also, if you could, you heard Mr. Strong describe the firefighting circulation plan for the site, ask if you as a traffic expert would confirm in your opinion that it was designed properly and it will, with the evidence that's before the board, are you comfortable advising them that it will handle the anticipated firefighting vehicles if ever they are required to come to the site?
Yes, I have reviewed the exhibit prepared by Crest Engineering and agree that I concluded that the plan presented will provide safe and efficient access for emergency vehicles, as well as to accommodate any large wheelbase vehicles that are visiting the site or being part of the site operation.
And the areas of the parking, I think we only touched on it, but there was informal parking throughout the site, and that the parking lots now are formal parking lots, and that their location is a safe and adequate location.
Yes, again, based on the ordinance, 46 parking spaces are required, 51 are proposed, and they have been presented as a more organized, formal parking areas to serve the site for employees and limited visitors that would be coming to the site.
I have nothing, Mr. Chair. I have nothing further of Mr. Cannell. He is available to you and your professionals for any further examination.
Okay. Matt, any questions for Mr. Cannell?
No, really. I'm just concerned with the people who park at the parking lot. They have a half a mile of walk to get to the building. It's too far away.
Well, there are six parking spaces designated adjacent to the new building, which would be, in my opinion, dedicated to those employees at that maintenance building. The other parking spaces along Route 33 are basically going to be oriented to the drivers that are utilizing the trucks that will be parked along Iron Ore Road.
That's correct.
Okay.
I have a question. Is the increase number of spots based on, you know, new traffic going into the site? I mean, is there a real need for the additional parking?
Well, it's not additional parking. It's formal parking. We could 45 parking stalls. We could make it 45 instead of 51. But the 51, it fit, and it made certain that there was always adequate parking for the on-site employees and the truck driver. Right now, it's pretty informal. Parking happens.
So there's some more formalized, and it's also the parking spaces are distributed throughout the site to serve the particular uses on-site. So as Mr. Pape stated, this plan presents a more formal parking areas that would generally be used by employees.
I guess my question is more, is there the idea that more traffic will be coming in? I mean, I understand formalizing spots, but is there the plan to have more traffic, more drivers, more trucks, you know, coming in and out that would require the formalized or the official parking number?
I've been advised that the number of employees, the production limits will not be altered with this plan. This plan is really in place to make it more efficient from a parking and circulation and it'd be more efficient to service the company vehicles on site. The existing building is antiquated, and it was intended to relocate that building to the rear of the site so that it's not, it's not similar to the current building, which is not as attractive as the landscaping will be when completed.
Scott, if I may, Mr. Chair and members of the board, Sean Erlin, who has always been the executive who runs, this is under his watch, will confirm my opening statement shortly. There's no change in employees. There's no change in production. There's no change in the number of trucks. All of that is stable, and all of that is not changed by this operation. But in a moment, I'll have Mr. Erlin sworn, and we'll have his testimony available.
I actually looked at the 2003 resolution. It said 30 trucks, and right now you have 30 parking spaces for trucks, so seems to be the same number.
Yeah, it's a very stable operation. Yeah. Very stable.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Anyone else have a burning question? If not, I think we want to try and get to Mr. Erlin.
Okay. So I have Mr. Erlin and Mr. Radassi are the remaining fact witnesses before we go to Allison to bring it all together with her planning testimony.
Okay.
Mr. Erlin could be sworn, and then I'd be pleased to have Mr. Erlin share with all of you his duration and responsibilities at the Sylvia organization.
Sir, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the following testimony about to give the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name, sir.
Sean W. Erlin, E-A-R-L-E-N.
Thank you.
Mr. Erlin's not offered to this board as an expert. He's offered to this board as a representative and executive of the company and familiar with its operations. Mr. Erlin, could you take a few moments to share with all the duration of your relationship with the Sylvia organization and your responsibilities?
Sure. I am the vice president of real estate, environmental, and public affairs with the Sylvia Group Companies, of which Sylvia Concrete is a part. And I've been with the company for 12 years, and one of my many job functions is to help with development applications, help make our sites more efficient, work with our professional engineering, legal, and other team when we need to come in front of a township such as Millstone to try to improve our sites. I was involved in the 2016 application and testified here at Millstone. And make a regular habit, I guess, fortunately or unfortunately, of being in front of planning and zoning boards throughout New Jersey and Pennsylvania quite regularly.
Mr. Erlin, I'm glad. Thank you for sharing that you were the representative who testified in 2016. A few moments ago, I made statements that we accept, reaffirm, and take forward with us the conditions that were created working with this board previously, including the 2016. If you could share with the board that you understand that there were conditions and we accept them as we move forward.
Yes, we agree to the previous, we understand and agree to the previous conditions.
Mr. O, could you just, how long has Sylvia been on the Route 33 corridor in Millstone Township?
Sylvia predates me. I believe since 1966, Sylvia has been at Route 33 in Millstone. So yeah, I actually spoke with John Sylvia, one of the two sons of the original owner this morning, and he reaffirmed 1966 is his best recollection of being on Route 33.
Sylvia's there for 54 years. If you could confirm that this is not a growth, we're not looking to grow the operation, the number of employees, will they remain the same?
That is correct. Still 30 trucks, still the same number of employees to man those trucks and to service those trucks. And just to go back to the question regarding parking, right now the drivers for the trucks come in a staggered schedule and their personal vehicles, some of which will park in the stalls in which the trucks are parked overnight. Those guys who get in a little bit later may or may not have a stall to pull into, so they will pull into whatever concrete paved area they can. So by adding spots on site, we're giving formal parking instead of having to do the musical chairs of trucks, ready mix trucks in, personal vehicles out. Now there will be formalized, as Ken, Mr. Pape had alluded to, formalized parking on the site for our employees.
And while you're available to us, why are you building this building? If you could describe to the board the difficulties that you have with the current building and the conditions that your mechanics are working under and the lack of amenities that are available to your staff.
So the existing building probably is circa 1966 as well. It's not the most efficient building. It does have two drive-through bays, which could hold four trucks. But if you were to put four ready-mix trucks in there today, you would not be able to move around them and have store a workbench or a tool bench for the mechanics that work on the trucks. Trucks a long time ago, when they were rear discharge mixers, were smaller. You could fit four in a shop such as this. Not to mention in that same building, we have driver's rooms changing rooms and restrooms for the drivers and employees on site. Again, just antiquated, antiquated and not very efficient. And then on top of that, we have an aging septic system attached to the building, which requires constant maintenance, which will be removed and a new septic field installed along with the new building at the rear of the property.
Mr. Chair, I have nothing further, Mr. Erlin. If you want to ask him more questions about the operation next to his children, it's his favorite topic, and he'll go as long as you ask him questions.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Pape. I don't have any questions personally. Board members, does anyone have any questions for Mr. Erlin at this point?
All of the witnesses remain with us throughout the evening. Mr. Erlin, I thank you very much. Mr. Steve Radosti is the proud architect and who's designed the building that's before you. If we could have Mr. Radosti sworn. And I'll look to Mr. Vella and Mr. Chairman as to whether you wish to hear his credentials or will accept him as an expert.
Mr. Radosti, please raise your right hand. Do you swear from the following testimony about to give the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name, sir.
Stephen Radosti, R-A-D-O-S-T-I.
Mr. Radosti is an architect and prepared the plans. Mr. Chair, Mr. Attorney, do you wish to hear his credentials before he testifies this evening?
I'm assuming he's still a licensed architect.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And you've been before the board many times, so we'll accept you as an architect tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Radosti. This is not the fanciest building we've ever asked you to design. I think it's a pretty utilitarian building. But if you could share with the board, what board would you like our host to show?
If I could have exhibit A17, the color renderings of the elevations of the building.
And as I indicated, Mr. Chair, currently we have the red and yellow building sitting prominently in the driveway. That's the building that will be removed. Mr. Radosti, would you describe the materials, the colors, and the dimensions of the building that you propose?
Yes. So the proposed maintenance building is 80 feet by 120 feet, and it's approximately 29 feet, 10 inches in height. Building is a prefabricated building with a stucco finish, with a standing seam metal roof, with a 3-on-12 roof pitch. The colors are all earth tone colors on the building. The interior spaces, there's going to be several repair bays, actually three drive-through repair bays, so there'd be a total of six overhead doors. These bays are wider and a little roomier with larger doors than that were on the previous building. So they have more room to move around the trucks, more room for repair, and their toolboxes, which before were very cramped. In addition to that, there's a driver's break room, as well as bathrooms that meet the American with Disabilities Act, men's and women's room, as well as a small kitchenette. There would also be a parts storage room, an office for the Department of Transportation. And in addition to that, there would be stairs to a small mezzanine that's 633 square feet that would also be used for parts storage for items that were a little too large to store in the smaller parts room on the first floor.
I think it's important, if necessary, we can bring back Mr. Erlin, but the Department of Transportation does maintain an office on the property for inspection purposes. They do inspect the trucks, and they have an office on the site currently. So that's nothing new. Mr. Erlin, if you could just confirm that.
You are correct.
Okay, thank you. There, the mezzanine that is proposed, if you could just describe what the purpose of a mezzanine is in a building like this.
So the mezzanine is for parts storage for some of the parts that are a little too large to fit in the parts room that's on the first floor.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chair, I have nothing further of Mr. Radosti, and he is available to all if there are questions.
Okay. Board members or professionals, any questions right now for Mr. Radosti regarding the architecture?
Nope.
Okay. Okay, let's move on.
So I'm guessing the building height is almost 30 feet then, not 24 that's shown on the plan.
It is correct. My drawing showed it 29 feet, 10 inches, plus or minus, but under 30 feet.
All right, so we'll have Crest Engineering correct their plans then.
Thank you. Thanks.
Mr. Chair, with your permission, we'll progress to the final witness. Our final witness this evening is Allison Coffin, our professional planner. Ms. Coffin, if you could be sworn.
Sure.
Please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the following testimony about to give the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Yes, I do.
Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name, ma'am.
Allison Coffin, C-O-F-F-I-N.
Ms. Coffin has testified before this board. Mr. Chair, Mr. Attorney, would you like her credentials on tonight's record?
Just want to confirm she's still a licensed planner.
Yes.
Okay, very good. And you've been in front of this board several times, many times.
Yes.
And so we'll accept you as a professional planner tonight.
Thank you.
Ms. Coffin, is there any particular exhibit that you'd like up during your testimony?
Perhaps?
Nope. No, you're fine?
I'm fine.
Very good. Then I'm going to ask if you would, in a narrative fashion, if you could identify the responsibilities that the applicant has to this board. If you could describe what you did to prepare yourself this evening for your presentation, and then take us in a narrative fashion through the positive and negative criteria and the proofs that you find that support those conclusions.
Well, the application that we're looking at tonight is on a property that's an irregularly shaped 13.4 acre parcel with frontage and access from both Route 33 and Iron Ore Road. And the site is fully developed with a concrete plant that's been there since the mid 60s. And the applicant is proposing some improvements to the site that are substantially similar to the prior approval from 2016, including converting the diesel fueling station to a natural gas fueling station, which was approved but hasn't yet been implemented. The prior approval was to have an addition onto the service building, but the applicant's proposing now to replace that antiquated service building in the front of the lot with a new, more efficient service building deeper in the property. This allows them to revise employee parking, improve landscaping, relocate some storage bins, and ensure proper circulation through the site for large vehicles, including fire vehicles. The property is zoned HC Highway Commercial. The concrete facility is a pre-existing non-conforming use in the zone, and the expansion that the applicant is requesting requires a D2 variance. Now, to prepare for tonight, I have refamiliarized myself with the prior approval. I reviewed the new plans. I met with the applicant to hear why they were undertaking this revision to the plans, looked at the professional review letters, and visited the site again. The other bulk variance relief that the applicant is requesting, in addition to that D2 variance, is for lot coverage. The permitted lot coverage in the zone is 50%. The existing lot coverage is 54.8%, and they're proposing to increase that slightly to 56.2%, and that does require a C variance. It's my opinion that special reasons exist for the granting of the requested variances, and the variances can be granted with no detriment to the health, safety, and general welfare of the public. Special reasons exist for the granting of the requested D2 variance to expand the pre-existing non-conforming use. Now, the New Jersey Supreme Court in the Burbridge versus the governing body of Mine Hill Township case examined the criteria to be considered by a zoning board when you're looking at a D2 variance. And the court determined that when the special reasons concept is applied to the expansion of a pre-existing non-conforming use, things such as appearance, aesthetics, and the compatibility of the use with the surrounding area become uniquely significant, especially if there's no evidence that this use will be discontinued. In this instance, the lot in question has contained the concrete plant since the mid-60s, and there is no intention to discontinue this use in the foreseeable future. Now, the increase of the intensity of the use is limited. There is no increase in business activity, the number of employees, or the size of the fleet, but there's an increase in the size of the maintenance building. Now, the relocation and expansion of the maintenance building proposed is to allow for repair activities that are currently done outside to be moved into an enclosed building and to provide for more proper circulation through the site. Now, the board previously approved the expansion of the building, and the applicant is only requesting now to demolish the older structure and construct a new one at a location in the site, which improves the way the site functions and will improve the aesthetic appearance of the site. We're also proposing that more formal employee parking, and that does not increase the number of employees. And the conversion of the fuel source from diesel to natural gas, as was previously approved, may slightly even decrease traffic to the site by eliminating the fuel deliveries that currently service the property. Now, there are clear benefits that will result from the proposed expansion of the use. The aesthetic and functional improvements from moving outdoor repair activities and the structure that is right along the frontage to the rear of the site into a more enclosed environment provides, and also we are providing more formal arrangement to the employee parking. This improves both the efficiency of the site and its aesthetic impact. We're also improving environmental impact by allowing the fleet to be served by a more environmentally sound fuel source, which reduces greenhouse gas emissions associated with the use overall. And we're improving aesthetic impact off-site from the additional landscaping that's proposed in the location where the existing maintenance building is to be demolished. So as a result, the site improvements result in a sufficient special reason in favor of the application to expand the use. The benefits in terms of environmental and aesthetic impacts are significant improvements over the existing condition. Now, the variances can be granted without detriment. The D2 variance to expand the use results in an improvement of the impact of the site, especially in terms of aesthetics, and it does not increase any detrimental impact as the activity on the site is not being increased. The bulk variance for coverage that's being requested can be granted under the C2 standard. The existing conditions are non-conforming, and the increase that's being requested is minor, and it advances the purposes of the municipal land use law with regard to providing an appropriate space for industrial use. The benefit is the improvement to the on-site circulation and the efficiency of the use, and there's no detriment that is caused by the slight increase in coverage. Therefore, the benefit outweighs the detriment. And lastly, the proposed variances will not substantially impair the intent and purpose of your master plan and zoning ordinance, as this is a pre-existing non-conforming use that's occupied the site for decades and will continue to do so. And allowing for the minor expansion proposed will not impede the larger purposes of the HC zone throughout the community. So for those reasons, it's my opinion that special reasons exist for the granting of the use variance and positive reasons exist for the granting of the C variance, and they can be granted without detriment to the health, safety, and general welfare of the public. And the granting of the variance would result in an improvement of the site in a manner which is consistent with the intent of both your master plan and your development ordinance.
Thank you for your efficient and thorough analysis. Mr. Chair, members of the board, I have no examination questions of Ms. Coffin. She is available to you and your professionals.
Okay. I want to start with one item I saw mentioned in our planner's report that Ms. Coffin did not mention, and that is a variance for off-street loading. I'm not as sure exactly what that is. Perhaps McKinley can explain, or what's the deal with this off-street loading variance?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was hoping we could touch on that. This has been a very efficient and quick-moving application tonight. The ordinance requires one off-street loading space, given all of the parking for trucks that you guys are formalizing. Do you need loading? Are any of these qualifying as loading? I was not here for the 2016 application. I've read the resolution, but was not here for that testimony.
Maybe I can help answer that. The site utilizes loading and unloading in various locations all over the entire site. If you look at the site plan, you'll see that there are numerous bins where gravel, sand, and other materials are stored. And all of those locations require that trucks pull up and deposit materials at those locations. So there's no one formalized loading space, but there are various locations throughout the site that are used for loading and unloading purposes. So we are really providing those locations, just not in a single formalized location on the particular site.
So would it be sufficient for us to start to maybe note these areas where the loading and unloading occurs on the site plan somewhere so that we don't have a variance?
I think that's a good idea, Mr. Chairman, even if it was just generally speaking in the area of where it is, because you obviously don't need the type of loading that a warehouse would require, for example. So I think if we can designate where your loading areas are, that would suffice.
Okay. And technically, I think we need two because it's one per 5,000 square foot of floor area. We now had testimony that it's actually over 10,000. So yeah. We can just note that for the record as well.
Agreed.
So a condition that they revise the plans to provide designated loading areas that satisfy the one loading berth per 5,000 square gross floor area of the buildings on the site.
Yep, that's good for me. And then I guess while we're on the subject of your report, McKinley, any disagreements or anything you could add to Ms. Coffin's testimony or subtract from her testimony?
I agree with her testimony in terms of the D2 and the C2 variants. If she could just touch really quickly, there's a residential neighborhood to the north of this site. Again, I know this site has been in function for 50 plus years. I know they're not changing the intensity, but the building is moving much closer to these residences. So Ms. Coffin, if you could just testify quickly on whether or not you see any potential negative impact given the relation of the proposed building to that other neighborhood up there.
I don't think that there's going to be a negative impact on that community to the north. You know, the building meets all the required setbacks. And there's more than enough separation between the side of that building and the homes in that area.
Is there...
If I may, Sylvie owns the residence that is...
I was going to say that. They own the first house next door.
So you're even farther away from the closest residence.
The residence that is most closely associated with this facility, Sylvie had an opportunity to buy it from that property owner and took advantage of it. So we only disturb the people that rent from us.
That might be a different issue, but no.
But how close is the nearest home besides the one you rent or potentially rent?
The next one's a couple hundred feet down the road.
That house. The first property is about 200 and some change, so the other one will be the house probably about 300.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
With that, Mr. Chairman, I don't have any other questions. As I said before, I agree with the applicant's planner on her testimony in terms of the positive and negative criteria for both the C and D variances.
Okay, excellent. Any board members have questions for Ms. Coffin at this point?
Mr. Chairman, just from a structural standpoint, how tall is the new building?
29 feet, 10 inches.
Yes, it's 29 feet, 10 inches.
Okay. Thank you.
Alfred, I do have one question. You mentioned in your testimony that the present building is so small that a lot of the repair or work on trucks is presently outside and now it will occur inside. Is that correct?
That was the testimony that the applicant had given in 2016. And the reason they were expanding it was to make sure that all activity took place within the building.
Wouldn't that be, maybe you said it, or I didn't hear it, wouldn't that be a positive that there's, especially in the wintertime, there's less, it's probably safer for the workers and better just for all around workplace, have everything inside and out of sight.
Absolutely. Makes it all more efficient and tidy.
And safe.
Okay, any further questions for Ms. Coffin at this point?
I did have a general question. I'm not sure if it pertains or not, but just in reference to going over aesthetics and the existing red and yellow building being relocated to the rear, I didn't hear anything mentioned about the existing concrete plant and the conveyor belt system being upgraded or painted to match the new structure. It's also seen its better day as far as being weathered. I didn't know it was being considered as part of the application.
It's maintained and there's change to it.
Ken, I don't know if everyone really heard you. It was very muffled to me.
Oh. Matt, you need to mute. You're folding paper. It's making noise.
Mr. Mosin, there's no change to the operational equipment. It's all in good repair. It's all well maintained. And there's no offer to paint that structure.
Okay. Anything else,
Mr. Chairman? Not really anything related to this application, but I think it's worth a mention. I mean, we're talking about aesthetics. If you're on 33, if you're coming down Conover and you're looking directly at the plant, you see a mountain of concrete, I guess, left over from jobs or perhaps dried up in trucks or something. But there is literally a mountain of concrete that's horrible to look at. And along further west, I guess it's the entrance, they have these very large concrete yellow blocks that do nothing for the appearances of 33, in line with the other businesses that are there. So just something, a couple of things that I think the applicant should address at some point, whether it's made part of this, but it is something that I know, having talked to some of the residents, it is an eyesore, both of those things.
Yeah, that's a good point. Any plans to improve the looks on that, Mr. Paper?
The crushed concrete pile is, there are limits that were placed on it, and they follow those limits. That part of the operation. I guess we could maybe meet with Matt and figure out if moving those concrete blocks, they serve a function of channelizing the truck traffic leaving the site and going out onto the highway.
Yeah, Mr. Pape, I don't doubt that they do. It's just they're bright yellow, and you could probably see them from space along with the mountain of concrete. It's just, truly an aesthetics thing. It just it does nothing for the appearance of the site, nor does it for the community.
We'll meet with, I'll offer to meet with Mr. Shafai and Mr. Erlin at the site to see what we can do about it.
Can I make one other general comment, kind of piggybacking on what Tony just brought up, because that was actually my second point, was also with reference to the pile of the recycled concrete and, within the retaining blocks that are there. It's right now, it's currently pushing about 20 feet high. I happen to see this every day when I go out to the end of Conover Road. And I did actually take a quick picture today. I didn't know if anybody wanted me to share my screen, I could pull it up. Just to kind of give an aesthetics view to some of the board members that, may not necessarily be familiar with what this facility looks like currently. And again, partially due to thanks to the power company coming in and taking down the previously mature vegetation that did considerably conceal this. But aesthetically right now, there are, those two issues, I think, should be addressed at some point. Not just for, myself, that I happen to visualize it, periodically, but, the rest of the residents in this part of the neighborhood.
Mr. Mastin, I just received a text from our client. They'll remove those concrete blocks and replace them with unpainted blocks. They're there to channelize the trucks to make certain. There was a time when trucks came out of there and made turns the wrong way and actually shot them. Okay. By putting them there, that stopped it. So we'll remove the bright yellow ones.
Okay. Well, if he's in a texting mood, what about the mountain of concrete?
You want me to share my screen with you real quick? I mean,
yeah, please do. I mean, it's pretty rough.
If crushed concrete is part of the operation, and we
Understood, Mr. Pape, but it's not the crushed concrete. It's the concrete waiting to be crushed, and it does not look good at all whatsoever.
Is it? Can I just jump in? Because I'm looking in there. Is it the if you're lot 33, it's to the front left, correct?
Correct.
That you have a big area there, and I don't know from an operation standpoint that the mound needs to be 25, 30 feet high. Is it something that it can be reduced to 15, 16 feet high, which will increase more area, of course, but it looks like you have it there. Seems like everything's bunched up in the corner really high. Is there, from an operation standpoint, is there a reason why it's 25 feet high and not a lower height, which will reduce the visual impact from Route 33? It'll cause a larger area to be used, but it looks like you have it there. I think that's kind of, you know, other than adding additional landscaping on the Route 33 to get up to 25 feet, which is not really practical. It's probably all been removed, but something to that effect. Is that what you're trying to get at?
The very best answer that I can give you is the concrete that is brought to the site, the concrete that is crushed, is a material element of the facility. Perhaps, again, I'll offer to meet with the professionals on the site to see if we can come up with something, but we can't. Those are material elements of the plan of the operation and always have been. But I'll offer, Mr. Erlin and Mr. King are willing to meet with Mr. Shafai on the site to see if there's something that could be worked out. But it's a very material part of the operation.
Understood, but it's inventory, basically, is what it is. So to Mr. Bella's point, it could be spread out so that it's not as high as it is, thus removing the eyesore.
The offer is to meet on the site with the professionals to see if we can work something out.
And again, and I agree with Greg had said, the area for storage of the recycled concrete is much larger. So there's additional available square footage to bring that height down, if you put the aerial and see that, and which I've taken the time to do that. And again, aside from the pictures from Conover and the aerials, I'd be more than happy to kind of share that with you just to give you a visual aspect of it as well. If you want me to, I could easily do that now.
Ken, can I chime in?
Mr. Sure. Robin, sure.
So I just wanted to chime in on the necessity of why it's stacked the way that it is. And for the board's understanding that this is concrete that gets returned in a truck that does not get used on a site. So a truck holds 10 yards of concrete and a customer only uses 9. They will spread the concrete out on the ground, let it dry, and then stockpile it. And 3 to 4 times a year, when that stockpile gets large enough, we will bring in a contractor to crush it. And that product then gets resold and reintroduced into our product for our customers. When we stockpile it, though, we do need, even though that area is large, we need to leave an area for the crusher, when he gets there, to be able to crush that material. But then also when he's done crushing it, he needs a second stockpile area for the then crushed material. So it is our goal to try to minimize as much real estate as possible when we're stockpiling it. But as Mr. Pape had mentioned, we'll gladly meet with the town's professionals and see if there's anything we can do to work with the board on that matter. But I wanted to at least give some context to why it's done.
Well, it simply sounds like you need to do it more often. Instead of letting it pile to 25 or 30 feet, just have, you know, have the crushing be done more often so it doesn't get that high.
It's something that's not economic until you do it, you know, when you have enough to bring somebody in. It's tough to get a guy to come in for 2,000 or 3,000 tons. It typically a much larger volume.
Okay.
And previously there was landscaping that fronted on 33 that blocked a lot of that view, because now it looks like there's only grass and some, you know, not mature trees or anything that affect a larger view there. Yeah. So is that fair to say?
I appreciate you saying that, yes, because it was not as easy to view before JCP&L came in and took down a number of trees with their pole line upgrade.
And in their easement, do not allow us to plant trees underneath their wires. So we have to do it on site.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I didn't mean to hijack the meeting, but this is something that's important to the people in the community. So
yeah, no, it's relevant to the site and therefore relevant to the application. And you know, again, it's not directly related to
right.
the building, but it is related to the site. So I think it's appropriate to discuss. All right. Any further questions for the applicant or professionals at this point? Okay. So Mr. Pape, is that the end of your direct testimony here?
Direct, and Mr. Chair, I think that the application is very, very straightforward. I do not request any opportunity to sum. I think that the points were well made by the applicant himself and the professionals. So we would ask the board to consider the relief favorably.
Okay. All right. And before we do that, we need to, of course, open this up to the public. So I don't know if any members of the public have made it through and are still with us. But any out there, please identify yourself right now. Do we see anyone that we can recognize, Pam or?
Mr. Morris, is there anyone from the public? I only saw the professionals. I didn't, and Mr. Erlin, so.
There is only one phone number, but I'm pretty sure that's Mr. Frost's audio. So
there's an Ed Potenta.
Yeah, Ed is with us.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember his name from last time. So okay. Looking through, I don't think that there's anyone.
Okay.
But I would ask Pam to check on that as well.
Okay, last chance, members of the public. All right, it appears there are none. So we'll close the public portion at 10:32 p.m. And as Mr. Pape said, he's done with his direct and no summary. So board discussion. Does anyone want to start? If not, I will. Okay. So hearing no one, I'll start. So basically, I think what we have here is an improvement over what's there today. I don't think there's any way that we're going to make this site perfect, and I don't think we're going to drastically improve the appearance of some of the things on this site. But again, in terms of improvements over what's there today, I see advantages in terms of having the building so that activities that are taking place outside today can take place inside. I think that is a benefit to the workers as well as to the community, as we're not going to visualize trucks being worked on and things of that nature. I think addition of the designated parking is also a good advantage, as it improves the safety on the site. People will know where to park and less movement of personal cars and trucks, I think is better to improve safety on the site. And And the third thing is the improvement in the terms of allowing the natural gas refueling. I think it's a better alternative than diesel fuel in general, although diesel is become much cleaner now. I still think natural gas is superior in terms of pollution. I really don't see any negatives to it. The one concern that I think has been addressed is the fact that the building is going to be a little bit bigger, but it's further away from the road. And, you know, as the applicant mentioned, the nearest neighbor in the back is actually the applicant. I don't see any big negatives in terms of visual impacts. We've heard testimony that the operations stay essentially the same. So while the square foot of the building is a significant increase, I don't find the intensity of what goes on there to be significantly increased as a result of this application. So that's my thoughts on it. You know, board members, you know, please share your thoughts, especially if you think I got something wrong.
I think, Mr. Chen, I agree with you. I mean, not to echo everything you said, but certainly, you know, the site doesn't adversely affect, you know, the area. You know, the fact that traffic isn't increasing and that the formalized parking spots, you know, does increase safety for the employees or anybody visiting. So I would have to agree with everything you said then.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tony. Anyone else? Anyone disagree with me? All right.
Well, I'll just make another general comment again. It's just I do like the idea that the new – Barry, are you going to go?
Yeah, I just want to say one minor thing. They exhibited over quite a long time their willingness to be responsible –
We lose him.
I think we lost Barry.
Okay, Pat, why don't you go? While Barry tries to recover.
Barry back. I'll just continue where I think the new facility on the property, I think, makes a lot of sense to get rid of the antiquated building. But I do think that there should be some consideration given to even if it's that. You know, that new landscape area in the front. I don't know if you consider putting maybe more of an earth berm in there and the landscaping on top of that, that may help conceal that existing recycled concrete pile a little bit better. Maybe some thought should be put into that a little bit. Just to reiterate again on the existing concrete plant structure, if you're going through making this many improvements to the site with the new building, new facility, new colors, I do think maybe some consideration should be given to, you know, to paint the concrete plant as well to aesthetically blend with the new building that's going up.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. Do we have Barry back yet?
It shows that his phone is muted, and I did click the ask to unmute button, but I'm not too sure if he is here or not.
Okay. Anyone else besides Barry?
I mean, I actually think that's a good idea. Steve, I was thinking that's not a bad idea. I mean, if they're doing a sort of a systematic upgrade, different color scheme, you know, not immediately, but, you know, maybe down the road, you know, next time that big structure needs to be, you know, overdone a little, just give it a little different color. Because it does, I mean, that's what stands out, you know, when you drive by, that high stuff being that bright yellow color kind of just makes it stand out. I know that's their corporate colors, but, you know, future, for the future.
Okay. All right. Well,
as far as the adding some berming in the landscape areas, we can certainly, it would be necessary to work with Mr. Shafai to make sure that we keep the landscaping where it's supposed to be, but we can definitely do that. We can elevate it with some berms.
Okay, excellent. All right, I guess Barry gave up, but I have no idea what he was going to say, but hopefully.
Michael, I need to try to bring him up for the voting purposes. I mean, we obviously have Mr. Mangano, but.
Barry, do you hear us?
One for yes, two for no.
Barry, raise your, you can hear us. Give a thumbs up that you can hear us. All right, so.
He can hear us.
Okay. He can hear us. So, Barry, whoever makes the vote, if you agree with it, give us two thumbs up.
We're taking it to a new level. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to improvise here.
Okay.
All right. So before we entertain a vote, I think everyone's expressed their opinions. It's getting late. So Mr. Vella, can you just run through any conditions you may have captured in the case we want to vote in the affirmative?
Yes. There's not many, but I do have all the conditions contained in Matt's report of 12/12/19. They will comply with the fire official's report of 10/14/19. I'm going to put in the specifically number. I'm going to identify all prior conditions that are prior to approvals are carried forward, but then I'm going to including specifically, and I'll put in the wording for condition 12 per Matt, which is the crushing time. Applicant shall revise the plans to designate on the plan a loading area that satisfies the off-street loading requirements.
Okay.
Comply with any conditions of the Ms. McKenzie's report. The applicant shall remove the yellow concrete blockers with unpaved blockers, and the applicant to meet with the board engineer to review the height of the concrete in view from Route 34.
33.
To discuss limiting the view from Route 33, including adding berms. The applicant should comply with the request of the board engineer to try to effectuate that visual improvement.
Okay, and you said unpaved. I think you meant unpainted.
Right.
Unpainted. Yes, you are correct.
Okay. All right. So at this point, I'd like to ask board members to make a motion to approve the application, given the conditions Greg just read, and more if you want to add more. Or alternatively, a motion to deny. So can we get someone to make a motion, please?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve with the conditions stated.
Thank you, Tony. Can we get a second, please?
I'll second.
Whoever.
Is that Mr. Morelli or Andrew?
I think it was Steve.
Steve, okay. That's fine.
You can have it.
Okay. And Pam, can we get a roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Conoscenti?
Yes.
Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Barthelmess?
Yes.
Barry Frost?
Two thumbs up. That's a yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Mostyn?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Ferrara?
Yes.
And Chairman Novellino?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, all board members and board professionals, thank you very much. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you.
All right. I don't think we have any new business on our agenda.
We don't, but I just wanted to let everyone know. So on September 23rd, I have two applications. On October 28th, I have two applications. The November meeting is the day before Thanksgiving. And
I'm busy that day.
Baking pies. And then on December, it's December 30th. 30th. So I have it scheduled, so I will not have those November or December meetings. I'm just letting you know.
It's fine by me.
Okay. I'm just so that'll be it. And I don't know if the September meeting will be via Zoom or if we'll be able to have an open public. Right now, we can only have 25. It went from 50 to 100 to 25. So I'll keep you apprised and let you know as I provide you the information.
Okay. Thanks, Pam.
All right.
So I think now we need a motion to adjourn. Someone want to make it?
Sure, I'll make it.
All right, a second.
A second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Good night.
All right, meeting adjourned.
Good night, everyone. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
And Mr. Morris, stay on. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.